Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
I'll tell you what, people. We are loaded for bear this morning. First off, we're going to have a surprise guest. Well, it's not really going to be a surprise because I'm going to tell you, Sean White, the Flying Tomato. Gold medalist Sean White, fresh off his conquering in Telluride.
Where the hell is that?
Does anyone call it... But do some people call it Turin or Terran or something?
Turin is in the Shroud of Turin.
Yeah.
But I think that's the Anglo kind of...
I've heard that every once in a while, too. Anyway, back stateside.
I'll tell you about surprise. I was surprised at the very least. I walked in to put something in the fridge this morning in the green room, and he was sitting there, and I was so confused that I was like... thinking, isn't he supposed to be in Italy right now?
I thought he was...
So I thought it might have been someone else.
I thought he was a new intern, so I told him to get me a V8 and give me a quick fluff before I hit the air, because I'm not gay, but my confidence is all I bring when I come up to the air. You know, when I come out here, that's what I bring. And that's just the way I do it. That's the way I like to prepare for the show.
You're a man.
Yeah.
I need things.
Other broadcasters like to wake up before the show and look at the newspaper and stuff like that. Not me. Not the ace man. I like a nice fluffing, and then I hit the air. So anyway,
Sean White obliged you.
I think it was one of those things where he was scared. He didn't know what to do. He just got caught in the moment. He didn't think of himself as gold medal winning. Sean White just thought him, saw himself as any 16-year-old at that point. And he snapped to it. So he'll be in here, and that's exciting because I was just watching the snow cross, the board cross last night, elbowing guys flying down the hill. I'm getting into snowboarding. I think I should. It's like I've been looking at it for about 10 years, going, that's pretty cool. Now I'm really into it because I've been watching it on the Olympics, and I figure about 63, I'll try it. I'll shatter my hip, and that'll be that.
I think your chances of injury double when you start snowboarding over the age of 40.
I'm waiting for brittle bone disease and osteoporosis to kick in to full effect, and then I'm going to go hit the slopes.
Yeah, but the thing with that sport is it is pretty cool. I looked at it some, too, but snowboard cross sounds to me like the Olympic event equivalent of, like, I have a girlfriend in the Niagara Falls area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, yeah. I won a gold medal. Oh, did you really? In what sport? Snowboard cross?
Yeah, sounds like you're making it up as you go. Yeah, you know what it sounds like? It's like a sitcom where you're talking to the person and you see a billboard go by and you go, board, and then you look up and you see intersection or cross. There's a big cross. Like in a Brady Bunch when they're making up someone's name. My boyfriend, Mr. Glass. Yes. So anyway, Sean White, we're going to bring in here in a couple of few. Dave Damashek is getting married.
He's getting married
on Sunday. His mom is coming in town. Mo Damashek, she's going to read some emails.
Sorry, ladies.
Not all favorable.
What?
Some of these emails your mom's going to read later on the show aren't all favorable.
People write negative ones?
I guess. I've never been on the computer. Dave Attell. The comedian's comedian, Dave Attell. And Dave Attell, I got to tell you, if you're a young stand-up, you know, they do this thing where they go, hey, man, if you're breaking into the business or you're a young stand-up, go watch this guy. This guy is a pro's pro. He's the creme de la creme. I want to say, if you are a young stand-up, an aspiring young stand-up comedian, don't go watch Dave Attell. You'll get discouraged and never go out on stage again.
Too good.
You want to see someone who's better than you. You want to see someone you can learn from. But don't see a guy where you go, I could never do that. I could never. I mean, that's really what I've seen Dave Attell do stand-up. He's up there for an hour and a half. You're laughing all the way through. And you go home and look in the mirror and you don't see a funny person looking back at yourself anymore. And you just think, nah, I could never do that. It's impossible.
Like, I think that's what... I speak for everybody on the staff here, Adam. When we go home each night, that's how we feel. How can we compare to Adam Carolla? Get the Ask Kiss music.
Yes,
let's get the music
right
up and going.
Nice. Because it's weird. I didn't hear the music.
Nice. Dave.
I don't even know what that is.
Dave's getting married on Sunday. And a couple things. So my wife said to me last night, she said, should we get him a gift or you just want to give him money? And I realize, and you know, you've seen the Corollas. You see how they work. All this stuff where dads get their daughters Valentine's gifts and moms cut sandwiches out in the shape of a heart for their sons on Valentine's. And I could remember Kimmel as an adult man getting Easter baskets from his folks in Arizona and stuff. And I'd be staring at it like a lab monkey, like, whoa, oh, whoa, oh. And he'd be like, yeah, my mom sent me this. Oh, oh. I just make wind noises. Oh, oh. Your mom? Yeah, yeah. Every year I get a nice big basket sent out from Arizona. I just make wind sounds. I don't know. My family's so screwed up. We don't celebrate Christmas on Christmas. The kids' birthdays. My sister's birthday is the beginning of May. My birthday's the end of May. So sometime in June, we'd have a crappy combined party. We're all over the road. It's a mess. I'm sure Rachel comes from the same kind of dysfunction. So when you hear about how stuff works, it's amazing. So it's like stuff like, well, someone gets married, you give them money. You know, like my let me tell you how goddamn cheap my family is. My mom, my sister got married, and, you know, no one has any money. And of course, my dad, you think my dad's paying for her wedding or anything? There's no tradition, there's no anything. No one's paying anything. So my sister gets married at my grandmother's house. Now, my grandmother's house is 1,350 square feet. It has one bathroom. You have to walk through the master bedroom, if you want to call it that, to get to the one bathroom, and in a small yard in a sort of medium to crappy part of North Hollywood. That's my grandmother's house, but that's the best the Corollas could muster for my sister's wedding. And my sister didn't get married at 19. She got married at like 30 or 31. This is, you know, barely 10 years ago. Everyone's an adult. This is the best we could do. So they're doing the whole thing where they get their friend to act as the, you know, the master of the peace or whatever they call him, and do all the stuff. And everyone's doing like potluck food, and it must have cost $350, literally. But my grandmother, here's how cheap my grandmother is, and then the whole family from there. She goes, she's complaining about my brother-in-law, Christoph, and she goes, he had some pretty exotic tastes, you know? I mean, this thing started cheap. You know, the wedding started at, you know, $1,200, but it soon ballooned up to like $1,375 or something, you know? And I said, well, like, what kind of stuff is it? Oh, he wanted this food, and he wanted that food, and then, you know, it started with 30 people, and he wanted 35 people, and blah, blah, blah. And she goes, but then I'll tell you what, when he wanted to go with silverware instead of plastic, that's when I drew the line. She literally said, that's when I drew the line. That was her demarcation line. That's where she said enough. This is her example of, this is outrageous now. Sorry, King Midas. You who does not want to use a spork on your most sacred of days.
Excuse us, Mr. Rockefeller.
Yes, the temerity. You barge into my modest home and want to use stamped silverware instead of a spork.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
that was her example. That is how cheap my family is. So the thing is I was raised by essentially possums. And people say to me all the time, like, it gets you into trouble later. It's in 2 years, the last 2 years, I've learned like etiquette and stuff. You know, I'll sit down at a table and there'll be five guys and one girl, and the waitress will come by and go, what are we having today? And he'll be looking at the one girl, and I'll go, I'll have the Denver omelet, but let's have that scrambled instead. And everyone will be looking at me, and I'll be like, what? I'm ordering. And I don't know this, like, I'll sit down first, I'll start eating when the stuff. It was just, you grow up in this sort of every man for themselves thing, and you don't know how to hold your pinky when you're holding the teacup. So my wife says, we got to get Dave and his beautiful wife a present. What should we give him? And now I don't know. So there's nothing good, evidently, to get you. And there's nothing expensive in wherever you register.
The gift of your friendship.
That's what I told her.
It's not nearly enough.
Then she said, "Well, we got to give her money. We got to give money.
Just go get him Jerome Bettis. Just hand deliver.
Physically bring him in.
A night in the fantasy suite."
So they said, well, my wife said, well, how much money do we give them? Like, I don't know.
Adam, or Dave, how much money do you want? You tell me. I'll whisper it to Adam. Then it'll be that. That's the proper way to do it.
$40.
Oh, I might have that on me. And here's the thing with that. Well, let's be honest, everyone. And it's the same with engagement rings. It's the same with everything. If your nephew, who's 22 and just out of college, flew in from Beaver Falls, coach, gives you $100, it's more than generous considering what his budget is. He still owes student loans and stuff. If your rich uncle comes in from Dallas and gives you $100, it's a slap in the face. So it's not like $100 is $100. It's a sort of percentage. It's like an engagement ring. Trump gets his old lady $100 worth of engagement ring. It's a slap in the face. I mean, it's a percentage kind of thing. So
expectations are higher.
Yeah, I make money. You know, I make money. So it would be a slap in the face to give you anything less than the percentage kind of thing. But here's what I say. And I've gone to a lot of weddings. Seems like a lot of folks I know have gotten married later in life, in their 30s, mid 30s. And they have requests like pay for our honeymoon and stuff like that. And I'm like,
they do?
You're 43 and you're 39. You guys can't make it out to Cancun on your own? I got to chip in for this one. Here's what I think. I like the money thing, but the money thing is the young couple that's trying to get a start in life, and now everyone comes in and gives them an envelope and a mazel tov, and this will help you get your first house. I say if your combined age is over 70, you get no money.
Yeah,
I'd like to work this out.
If you have a leftover Man Show T-shirt or something, throw that my way. We can do that. That'd be cool. Maybe you could sign a headshot. I could either frame it and hang it on my wall for a long time, or I could turn it around on eBay. Make a nice $4 profit there.
I'm going to wait to get married until you're making more money so the percentage goes up.
No, but don't wait too long, because if the combined age gets over 69.
I got time.
Oh, I like to work it out, but I'm just saying the two of you put together can't be older. Maybe we'll do some sort of sliding thing. Your combined age can't be older than your grandfather's age or something like that, because it's weird giving a guy who's 44, here's $200, buddy. Enjoy that. All right.
It's crazy.
I hear you.
All right. Sean White, the Flying Tomato, is stopped by. It's quite a surprise. We didn't know it. I'm excited to talk to him. So we're going to break it a bit early, and we're going to bring him in and talk all about Olympic gold after this.
KUFO.
1:80 a.m.
Yeah. Sean White, the Flying Tomato, fresh from Torino. Olympic gold. I hold it in my hand, ladies and gentlemen. A beautiful donut of gold. And it's heavy. That's got to be 2 pounds plus. But it can't be solid. I asked Sean, and he said, I don't know. I don't know if it's plated or I don't know if it's solid, which would have been the first question I would have asked whoever handed it to me.
Sean, can I see it?
Yes. But see with your eyes, not with... Okay.
You sound like my grandfather.
Oh, it is.
Sorry, baby. You look with your eyes, not with your hands.
Don't hate me. Sean, congratulations.
Thank you.
He told me that he did a little press in Italy and then flew back to New York, and it's been a whirlwind. Cover of Rolling Stone coming up?
Yeah, it was pretty heavy. I mean, we got off the plane and shot it that night.
I'm trying to think of an endeavor that has more of a sort of light switch on and off thing than the Olympics. Meaning, celebrities are celebrities, but no matter how big they are, Brad Pitt started in a handful of crappy movies and sort of slowly worked his way up to mega celebrity. All the IT people, they don't do it overnight. The Olympics is kind of one of those deals where somebody may not be a household name on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, boom, toast to the town. I mean, I don't know that there's any faster celebrity.
Well, I mean, as far as like snowboarding goes and action sports, I mean, we've had X Games and we got all these other events. So,
right.
I mean, the year... For me, at least, it's not like Olympics was that one thing that was going to, like, make my career,
huge.
You know?
I know. I guess what I'm saying is I know, and it sounds condescending or something, but I mean, certainly within the X Games people, the hipsters, the young people, you were well known, but now America. Boom.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things where it went from, like, I don't know, a lot of my friends watching X Games, and, I mean, we were starting to get a pretty strange crowd that was watching the X Games. I had like moms rolling up to me and just random people, and I mean it's definitely, you can see it's like everyone.
Well, I'll tell you the thing about the X Games, which I think me and Kimmel hosted in San Francisco about 7 or 8 years ago, and all I can remember is Lusenstein, a huge guy named Lusenstein.
Lusenstein?
Black. This is before your time, kid. Right.
Before you were born.
Yes, you were not. You were at home standing on your mother's ironing board when I was hanging with Lusenstein. This guy is like 6'8". They called him Lusenstein. He looked like Frankenstein, and he seemed to have hit his head too many times going down one of those steep. Did they even have the luge anymore in the X Games?
I don't think so. I mean, that was like kind of in there for a minute, and people were like, I don't know about this. And then you know why?
Because you should get rid of any sport where anyone could do it if they got drunk enough. You know what I mean? Like if I got lit enough, I would lie down on one of these ironing boards with wheels on it and just go down a hill in San Francisco, put a helmet on, and that would be that. The sports you do, and especially, I mean, all of them now take incredible skill. As a matter of fact, I was watching the Brian Gumbel Sports Show. What show is that again, Damashek?
Real Sports.
Real Sports, and I saw it about 4 or 5 days ago, and I was disturbed at Brian Gumbel, who I always thought was a blowhard, but I now have decided to add racist to his heap of things I don't like about him, and I think you can be black and racist.
Sure.
Certainly Brian Gumbel. And he was talking about the Winter Games and how these guys weren't real athletes and all that kind of stuff.
About us?
Yes.
Weird.
He didn't bring you up specifically, but I think he had you in mind when he said this.
Yeah. Count me among those who don't like them and won't watch them. In fact, I figure when Thomas Paine said these are the times to try men's souls, he must have been talking about the start of another Winter Olympics. Because they're so trying, maybe over the next 3 weeks we should all try too. Like try not to be incredulous when someone attempts to link these games to those of the ancient Greeks who never heard of skating or skiing. So try not to laugh when someone says these are the world's greatest athletes, despite a paucity of blacks that makes the Winter Games look like a GOP convention.
Well, as soon as I look up paucity, I'm going to be angry. Number one. Number two, I must have been a slap in the face to the entire snowboarding community to be likened to Thomas Paine's famous words. Because that's got to be a bummer.
I think, you know, honestly, yeah. The thing I realized when I was out in Torino is I don't know how popular the two-man luge is, but
right.
I don't think any of my friends are really into that. And I think that's why... I mean, snowboarding and these sports have gotten into the Olympics. It's just kind of like a new generation. It's not really like my friends are like, yeah, two man luge.
It's an interesting
that's my thing.
You know what? You make an interesting point, which is the Winter Games seems to be sports that you look at, curling or luge, or there's a handful of other ones.
The biathlon with the skiing and shooting.
Well, at least there's some endurance with that. But there's a handful of sports where you look at them and you go, ah, hell, if you gave me 6 months, I could probably figure that one out. And then there's ones like the 90-meter ski jump and the snowboard cross and the half pipe and all. The freestyle skiing to me is insane. These guys are 35 feet in the air and they're upside down and their skis are
all aerial stuff.
Crossed. Yeah, the aerial stuff. And so the problem is I think the two... or three sports that people look at and go, oh, hell, I could do that. Ruin it for the other 25 that there's no way you could do.
First of all, I got to say two things. First of all, I grew up around skateboarders and snowboarders. Skateboarding is probably one of the single most difficult things that anybody can do. Anybody should try that. It's probably the hardest thing.
It's harder than snowboarding, for sure.
It's harder than just about anything. And second... what is he talking about that these are not sports that the Romans would have? Yeah, well, we're not like sending people out to get attacked by lions in the middle of like
a big
gladiator thing either.
Although I would definitely watch that.
We don't compete.
We should.
Write that down, yes.
Yeah.
Maybe we should. I don't know.
Yeah, he's a blowhard. He wants more black athletes in there.
Like I said, there's no black athletes in the Winter Olympics because they don't hand out pimp cups.
Oh, wow. Right.
We were talking about that earlier. I need to get a pimp cup.
But should give you a pimp cup.
Here's what I'm saying. If I was from another planet and I just got beamed down to this planet and I turned the TV on and I saw a baseball game on one channel, I'd watch it for 10 seconds and go, all right. And then I'd watch a basketball game and I'd say, this is interesting. And then I'd go to the half pipe on the snowboarding and I'd go, wow. There's something, and I would watch that. I know it sounds like I'm kissing ass, but I certainly wouldn't go, hey, the guys playing baseball are far greater athletes than these guys who are getting 14 feet of air above the rim of the half pipe. I think it's impressive. And I also think that the X Games are sort of giving people what they want now. Mm-hmm. Whereas other sports are lots of sort of pondering and managers walking out to the mound to have long-winded discussions. I think the X Games realize people want to see action. They want to see it fast. Yeah. They want the stuff to last 30 seconds or a minute and then be right on to the next guy.
Well, I think they do it right because they, like, I don't know, they build it in these big events where it's like, I mean, if you walk up to the halfway, but the X Games, it's intimidating. There's like all these grandstand lights on the half pipe and people lining the edges of the pipe. And I mean, it's become this huge spectator event as well as just, you know, something really fun to do.
What do you think the hairiest X Games sport is? Because some of them are transcend a sporting event and turn into sort of daredeviltry. Like, I would never try that kind of thing. Like, some of the stuff with the motorcycles, for instance,
yeah, I mean,
for me.
I don't know. The guy that got that idea that was like, okay, this is it. We're going to get the motorcycles on the snow.
On the snow.
Yes. You know, that was a little shifty.
Last year, someone, like, ruined themselves doing that.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things where snowboarding and motocross have in common is where, I mean, when you hit a jump that's like a 90-foot jump, there's no real turning back once you've taken off with skateboarding. You can kind of run out of it or bail to your knees or something like that. But I mean, it's kind of that messed up mental attitude you have to have going into that. And I mean, motocross definitely has that one. I mean, those guys are just sketchy.
What is, I know, well, I listen,
no, for real.
I here's what it is. A lot of these guys just have the alcoholism gene. It doesn't mean they drink. It means they have the thrill gene. They have the addiction gene, and they're hooked on adrenaline, like the movie Point Break.
Yes.
That's a good one. You should watch that one. Yeah, that'll tell you about 100%
that's
pure adrenaline.
That's how Sean wound up getting into the business. You saw that.
And what is, so what's next for Sean White? Is it, I mean, more, obviously you're young, you're 19.
Your life's made. You're not even 20 years of age, and your life is hereby made.
Yeah, right? I mean, things have gotten crazy because of the Olympics. I didn't realize how big it was until I got home, and everybody's recognized me in the airport and everywhere I'm walking around and dinner. And I mean, it's one
ladies.
Of those things. Yeah. Hey.
Yeah. Who'd you ask out over there? Who was that? Oh, Sasha Cohen. How's that going?
The funniest thing happened because I read this article on the plane. It was a Sports Illustrated, and she had some interesting photos in there.
She's hot.
I thought it was pretty cool to try and meet her, so I asked somebody about it, and then it turned into this crazy thing where, like, Sean, you won the gold. Sasha did gold medals. And like it got on everybody's thing. So no, well, I just read there was I did an interview with People Magazine and they asked her like if she was down to meet me, and I don't know.
And
yeah,
things might be working out. I don't know.
Hey, let me tell you something. This happens every day in Hollywood. You know, celebrities do it all the time. Publicists just ask other publicists to hook up, and it works fine because it's not like a blind date. You know, it's not where they go, well, what's he look like? He kind of looks like a Harrison Ford. Oh, he is Harrison Ford. Yeah. That's how it works. You don't have to do it.
Well, it turned out me just giving her a hard time about it, and now it's like we're actually going to maybe meet up. I don't know.
That's exciting. I'm excited. I'm going to live vicariously through you. And let me just tell you this, Sean. I was thinking of advice, but, you know, people are going to be telling you, like, what you need to do, business deals and, you know, endorsements and things like that. I'm just going to tell you what not to do. It's going to be hard for you to F up your life. But you can. Believe me, you can. There's many tales throughout history of people doing it. You don't have to do anything special. That's what I'm saying. You keep snowboarding, you'll make your money, you'll have your endorsements,
I mean,
you'll be selling video games, it'll all be fine. But here's what you can't do.
Uh-oh.
You can do some drugs, but not too many. You can't get too shy. I know if you snowboard, you gotta smoke some weed because it's a cultural thing. It's like the American Indians with peyote. We can't take that away from you. But don't marry a crazy woman. Don't get in with someone who's crazy. That will destroy you. Because
the crazy girlfriend, huh?
Yes, the crazy girlfriend, because you may be a gold medal winner and on the cover of the Wheaties box and all that kind of stuff. I don't even know if the Wheaties box has a cover, but actually on the Wheaties box. I actually was in the Wheaties box once. No one knows about it. No one ever looks
like
at the inside. It's like the back of a magazine.
To the
specifically,
of
your genitals were in the Wheaties box.
How dare you? My point is you may be all these things, but at first you're a 19-year-old. mm-hmm. and a woman could come along and you'll get the hormones popping and raging. You'll get sucked in. Remember that feeling, guys? 19? You'll get sucked in and she could ruin you. Uh-oh. Be very careful about that. I'm not talking about prenups. It's all emotional. You'll get sucked in. Someone will screw it. She'll start screwing around. You'll get depressed. You'll go into a funk. You won't care anymore. You'll start hitting the bottle, and that's it.
And unlike the rest of us, let me tell you, unlike the rest of us, Corolla is right. Because you, and so unlike us, you can just move on to the next one. They're going to be lined up for
yes,
you.
Yes, that's right. Don't get caught up. That's what I'm saying. If Sasha Cohen breaks your heart, you move right on. To
no
the
such
next
thing
figure
as a
skater.
Broken heart,
all
right?
That's right. That's right. All right. So did you get that advice?
I've been writing it down.
Yeah.
I'm on it.
Yeah. And make hay while the sun shines, as they say. You're a good kid. I don't want to hear about anything bad coming out of your camp, all right?
All right.
Are you going to do Kimmel tonight?
Yeah, I think that's next up. We did the late show on some other stuff last night and Kimmel today.
He's a good kid, that Kimmel. I gave him the same speech I just gave you just last week. you wanted something to bust Kimmel's balls
about?
Yeah,
I need some dirt on Kim.
I'll tell you, one of my greatest Kimmel stories, I don't know if you can tell it on his show or not, but you can go ahead and try.
All right.
You're a snowboarder. you're not a diplomat.
I love that, because we can kind of get away with a lot of stuff that normal people
you're
couldn't.
You're not Miss America.
I mean...
Yes, it's true. It's like you're all we have as white people. You're the equivalent to rap stars.
I mean,
basically.
I can like
go up there, do what you want.
I can go on shows and throw out some crazy slang, and they're like, "Oh right, snowboard terms.
Do whatever
you know what I mean.
But do whatever you want.
It's totally
yeah.
just lying.
Yeah, you could say MF-er, and if it was a snowboarding move, they couldn't beep it. So here's the thing. Kimmel was over at my house. Man, it was like 7-8 years ago. I think we were playing some poker or something like that. Everyone had cleared out, and like a good couple, Kimmel and I were left behind doing the dishes. He was literally like washing, and I was drying. And we had a couple of beers and maybe more. And
one thing led to another.
One thing led to another. He was standing with his back to me at the sink, and I had a canister of coffee, like one of those coffee cans, but the high-end ones with the snap plastic lid on it. And... Uh-huh. He had a couple of whole coffee beans sort of rattling around the bottom of it. It's the kind you grind. I had some hellacious gas. So I took this canister and I put it right on my butt and I filled it up. I just filled it up and I immediately swung it around to Kimmel, who had his hands in the sink. And I said, "Kimmel, fresh Sumatran beans from the hills of Sumatra." And you know, you got to realize when people smell coffee, they don't do it from a distance. You pop the lid on the thing. People don't go like, they just bury. He buried his face into this can.
We learned that from the Folgers commercial. You got to take the bean.
You
got to
get it. There's like 8 beans rattling around at the bottom. He put his face. He actually was touching the bridge of his nose with the edge of the can, and the other one was on his chin, and he went... he did that beat. You know that weird disoriented beat, like when you think you're drinking orange juice, but it's milk? That weird... what? That we have to get it together beat? And then he just went, what the... I never laughed harder in my life. So I was thinking, too, because, you know, listen, I've farted on 1,000 people in my life, but you can't make them soak it up. You know what I mean? They put the shirt up over their face. They run out flapping and screaming. He actually ingested. There's a
That's
part
where
of
like,
me
you
in
can
him.
Taste the flavor. He was so.
That's right.
Like.
Yes, he was like corned beef and cabbage last night. I was like, "That's right, Kimmel."
Kimmel suffered severe brain damage from which he is still not recovered.
Oh yeah, he used to be a whiz at math and speak 5 languages.
Oh, man.
All right, Sean White, everyone. Yes, sorry.
I just wanted to ask, what do you think, Sean? About listen, Beggars Can't Be. I think it's fantastic. You won the gold medal, but.
Yeah.
Don't you think that medal's kind of ugly? It's weird. It looks
like
a donut.
Like I said, pimp cup.
It's a little weird. It looks like it's a DVD. Like you plug it in, play around.
It's like a donut that Tad tried to eat it already.
Well, the one you get next year, Sean, will be more traditional. And then Shaq will probably enjoy
it. I'm jealous, believe me.
Melt it down and do your teeth.
Just a grill, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we'll find out if it's solid or not.
Sean, good luck again. Just all you have to do, you don't have to make the right decisions. Don't make the wrong ones. That's all. Just don't blow
up. Watch out for the
ladies. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, watch out for the ladies. Give our love to Kimmel tonight. Sean White.
Thank you.
The Flying Tomato. Come back anytime, by the way. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the new Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
That is right. 866-901-ADAM. John White. Dave Damashek, you took a picture with the Olympic gold around your neck?
No, he was in a hurry. Me and the flying tomato. We got a picture, though. You know, two chums now.
He didn't want your autograph because of the Steelers' recent Super Bowl victory?
Shockingly, no.
Yeah, snowboarders. They're usually in Steeler ball. We have Representative Richard Martin in studio, Republican from the great state of Ohio. Nice to have you back, Mr. Martin.
It's a pleasure to be here. And yeah, you almost forgot the Republican part, certainly a very important part of my makeup.
Yeah, well, I know. You know, Bush's approval rating, by the way, all-time low. I would argue that once it gets into the 30s, once it passes under 50, it becomes a disapproval rating. It's no longer approval rating 38%. Disapproval rating 62%. You see what I'm saying?
Adam, I gotta tell you, you know, every place I go with him, he's incredibly popular, whether it's a country club or a rodeo.
People enjoy him. Right, but you said country club or rodeo.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking sort of red state activities there. Lots of white people with money.
Is that?
I don't think there's a lot of inner city folks at the country club. I don't see a lot of different colored faces at the rodeo.
Is dark skin helping out?
I've seen possibly the prison, helping out. Yeah, mm-hmm. Shoveling manure and things like that.
Sure. It's all a part of the grand scheme.
Okay, all right. I'm just saying. The guys in the stands, the people who are actually participating, not the vendors, not the people cleaning up. All right, let's not get sidetracked.
I never really noticed.
Let's not get sidetracked. Yeah. It is President's Day. I guess Monday is President's Day, but we're not going to be on Monday.
Three-day weekend.
Okay.
So we thought we'd bring you out, and I mean, you're a bit of a historian politically. Tell us some of your favorite and least favorite presidents historically. I have a list of a handful of guys here that I've just thought of. I'll just throw out a name. You tell me what you think.
Absolutely. How about we give him a rating?
All right, we'll give him a rating.
Let's say from
like a 1 to 100, something like that.
Sounds good.
All right, Buchanan.
I'm going to give him a 75.
75.
You got to remember, this is a fella that, God darn it, he lived alone. You know, mm-hmm. He was a bachelor. That certainly brings its own set of values.
Right.
You know, he didn't settle down with a neat little gal.
Right.
But he managed to lead this country, and tip of the hat to him.
He was a big man, too, wasn't he?
He was a big man. He wasn't afraid to sit in front of a piece of beef and have at it.
Yeah. Maybe that's why he never got married, if you think about it.
Maybe he sat down in front of some kielbasa and really had at it. Henry Kissinger said that power is the ultimate aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
And, you know, Henry ought to know, because he's a handsome man.
He's a good-looking man, yeah. Ronald Reagan?
Oh, I gotta say 100.
100?
I gotta say 100.
100 out of 100.
Yeah.
100, not a 99, 100.
When you think of what Ronnie did for the mentally insane, you know, that he saw the need to turn them loose on the streets, to free them from their captivity.
Well, people would argue that maybe that wasn't the right thing to do.
Oh, I couldn't disagree more. Every time I pass a puddle of urine, I take a deep breath and I look up at the sky and I say, thank you, Dutch. Thank you.
I remember thinking, well, he's cutting back funding and he's taking people that need to be basically supervised and medicated.
No. He's the Lincoln to the nut house.
Wow, so you're saying he emancipated the nut jobs.
He freed them from their medication.
Clinton from their medication. Clinton, come on. Now, if you're giving Ronald 100, I mean, Clinton's got to be in the high 80s.
I'll be fair. I'm going to give him a 3.
Three?
Sure.
Three, not a 30.
I give him 2 points for being so fun to impeach.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll throw in another one for just staying alive.
Right.
Yeah.
Not actually. But I mean, anyone who goes in the office doesn't get shot.
This was a weak man, Adam.
Really?
This was a weak, weak man. This was a man who couldn't even fight the urge to lay down with a pudgy Jewess.
Jewess.
Yes.
Yeah. female Jew.
But on the other hand, it was a pretty prosperous time for our nation. One of the
I think we did pretty well under his 8 years. Yeah.
Sure, if you want to crunch those numbers and, you know, begin that slippery slope of facts, I suppose we could play that game.
Yeah, all right.
You know, once you begin to dabble in facts, things get a whole lot muddier.
That's right.
I sure do.
I guess I agree. How about Bush, W? How about W. Bush?
I got to go 101.
Oh, really?
101.
Over Reagan.
Solid guy. You know he's straight.
Yeah,
you know,
he's straight. Yeah.
He's not afraid to say it to the terrorist, bring it on. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that takes courage.
Well,
it does, that takes courage.
It does the president, guts, but Bush, you know, when he decided it was time to go to war, he just went ahead and did what he. Whereas Clinton, when it was time to take some military action, he went to the UN. He got the approval.
Exactly. Exactly. Anybody can fight with a coalition of industrialized nations mm-hmm. behind them. Mm-hmm. Who can't do it? Where's the challenge in that?
Right.
You know, I just want to remind right now we're fighting alongside Moldova.
Yeah.
Find that on a map.
I thought it was a car.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what that
Moldovans
was.
Moldovans don't even know
car.
Where Moldova is.
I think my gym coach drove a Moldova in 77. That's all I know. At the Landau top.
We're fighting alongside Macedonia. How do you get there? You know, go to the Middle Ages and turn left.
You know, Macedonia exists.
Heads up,
either.
A spear's coming from the back row.
Yeah. Macedonia you know? Sounds like a place Richard Dreyfuss's twin would have ran in an 80s movie, a bad 80s movie. All right. I do tend to agree with you on
severed,
that one.
You get a severed leg on the battlefield. You know, your medics from where? Monaco? What's
right.
Is he going to fashion a splint out of dice?
Yeah.
Give you some crutches, that thing they scoop the craps up with?
Yeah, that hook, yeah. There'd be a horrible tourniquet if you think about it. A dice probably even make a worse tourniquet. Yeah.
Poland? Nice fellas, but come on. We've had so many casualties of fellas mixing up the grenade in the canteen.
Yeah. Trying to drink out of the
blowing
grenade.
Blowing their lips and their teeth out and then showering the enemy with water.
It's true. All the stereotypes
I could go on and on, Adam, but I won't.
Well, all right. Let me ask you.
And let me just say one more thing. One more thing about the UN. You know, it's like Bill Cosby. You know, he had his moment in the sun a couple decades back, but it's time to pipe down.
Right.
Where's the power strip? Let's unplug it. You know.
Right.
The UN. You know, we don't really care what Johnny Zimbabwe has to say, do we?
Sure.
Do we count votes when they're being ushered over on a canoe?
Right, it's a good point.
The last time I think I checked in on the UN, I saw a giraffe wearing headphones.
It seemed like a good idea at the time, but I just don't think it's worked out.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, finally. Who is your all-time favorite president?
I've got to say Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney's vice. He's the vice president.
Oh, did I say Dick Cheney?
Yeah, I think he did.
I gotta say George W. Bush.
I think that was a little bit of a slip up. I think a lot of people think that Cheney may be pulling the strings for Bush. Yeah,
I'm offended.
Okay.
And how dare you say that?
All right,
I just want to say
you did say Cheney when I asked you.
No, I didn't.
I thought I heard you say Cheney.
I didn't.
I'm almost sure you said
No, I didn't. I just want to tell the gals out there, President's Day is Monday. Go ahead and get that skirt you've had your eye on. It's on sale. Right. Treat yourself.
Put the slacks
This
down.
Is America.
Get a skirt. All right. AskARepublican.com. Republican Richard Martin from the great state of Ohio.
God bless
Thank you for coming
God bless
by.
You.
And God bless you. For
no, God bless you.
Focusing so much. Hey, we're not even on in Ohio. This is the kind of commitment this man has to politics in America. God
Hardcore
love you.
Hardcore conservative, really.
May you soar like an eagle out of the studio, my Republican friend. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
The Ace Man's taking his radio show March 9th out to Las Vegas. They got sexy Rachel Perry and Dave Damashek, the man who's in love with the Steelers. They're hauling big fat Tad out in an elephant trailer. Mike August booked an Elvis impersonator. The Ace Man's going to Vegas. The Ace Man's going to Vegas. The Ace Man.
Yeah. March 9th, is it? Is that when it
yes.
is? All right. And between 3, now it's not going to be, you guys aren't going to have to get up at 5 in the morning to come see us. You just roll out of bed at 2:30 in the afternoon and head on out and see us. We'll be there from 3 in the afternoon till 7. Plenty of hijinks.
At the Palms.
At the Palms, yes. That's where it is. All right. Still plenty of show to go. Comedian Dave Attell. Comedian's comedian Dave Attell. We have a neurologist who's coming in from USC. I have this theory. I have a lot of ideas. I really do. And most of my ideas, they're always labeled insane. I'm really the Leonardo da Vinci of my time. I'm like a stupid Leonardo da Vinci. I really am. I come up with these ideas like dogs that sniff out cancer and venereal disease, and I start spouting about them 8-9 years ago, and then slowly they start trickling in over the news over the course of the next few years. Yes, these things do start coming out, or these inventions I concoct, they do start coming out. I predict the same thing with the lie detector. The lie detector machine, the polygraph machine, to the best of my knowledge, has been around for about 50 years. And they've been steadily making improvements on them. Plus, what we have learned, and we'll talk to Michael Quick about it, who's a neurologist, and a couple talk to him in the 8 o'clock hour. But I'm just trying to soak the soil here, get everyone's brain in the right place. What we've learned about how the brain works in the last 5 years is more than the 500 years before that. We keep learning more. And through the technology, computers, MRI, CAT scans, PET scans, all this stuff, we can now basically see what your brain, you know, they do these things where they'll put you in a PET scan or they'll give you a functional MRI. They'll show you pornography and they'll see what happens to your brain. They'll see different things light up, different quadrants of your brain lighting up. And they'll show you gay pornography and see if something lights up. And they'll show you straight pornography and see if something lights up. We can figure it out. We can tell what's going on in your brain now. And all I'm saying is let's put this to use. Let's put it into the criminal justice system. Let's do away with the courts. Let's stop these lengthy trials that go on. You know, and all this thing, you know, we always kind of just shrug it off when they go, oh, the OJ trial cost tax millions, over $9 million. Oh, man, the stupid tax. I'm paying taxes. You know, you look at it, it's not like a ferry turned over in Thailand. When they say taxpayers, they mean we paid $9 million. We could have built a school. But instead, we had to spend the $9 million so OJ could shoot a round over at Riviera 18 months later. Well, let's think about it. And then there's always the question of, oh, skin color and representation and who this is, this guy being adequately represented, and what about discrimination and blah, blah, blah. Let's put it all to rest. Let's get ourselves an invention. Let's have a lie detector test that's infallible, or if it is fallible, it's one in every million. Put it to use,
and we're so close. That's
we're so
the point.
Close.
The current lie detector is right only, you know, half the time. It's like 98.5 or something, right?
That's right.
Let's just push it across
get away.
The finish line, then.
Right? Corrupt judges, inept DNA's, DNA evidence that's hard to understand. All the stupid juries of your peers. Forget it. It's all done with. We'll turn the courthouses into strip clubs and force the stenographers to stenographize somewhere else. That's right. Take your stenographone and be off. But good day. And write
but
that
wait,
down.
Now what?
Write good day. And now read it back to me. What did I say? You said good day. That's right. Good day. Read it again. And you just keep going in a circle. All right. I'm interested in spearheading this. And I'm convinced, first off, as a taxpayer, as a citizen, how much more satisfying would it be just to know? You hear about this thing where it's like, Johnny Lee Baker Bucky Hooker was put to death, but he claimed he was innocent all the way to the chair, and now there's DNA evidence that suggests maybe he didn't commit that crime against that white woman in Selma, Alabama in 1969. It's unsatisfying. Give them the lie detector and give the guys that are currently in the lie detector. Forget about the appeals. Oh, listen, there was evidence that was tainted in my trial and, you know, 30 years ago. Forget it. Hop on the lie detector. Everyone in death row, lie detector. Boom. We'll let you out the next day. That's
people,
all.
People love to defend their right to lie, though. People love to lie.
I know. And here's the thing. Everyone, the reason we don't do anything in this country is everything's a slippery slope. Well, today it's the lie detector. Then before you know it, you get pulled over for a traffic violation and the cop hooks electrodes to your brain. No, it's not. That's not going to happen.
I like this. Listen, yesterday, you know, yesterday's news, the polygraph. Tomorrow's headline, the Coralygraph.
The Coralygraph. Oh, that's me. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, of course, you need to deserve a tip of the hat for spearheading this.
Oh, the Recyclarola and now the Coralygraph.
Yeah.
When will it end? All right. Rachel Perry, you primed? You poised? You ready?
To strike.
Yeah, I had Sean White prime me for the news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could do,
right.
You could do worse than that.
I got your sloppy seconds. But
yeah,
you know.
You could do worse than that. Rachel Perry, the news.
It has the news.
You said you have done worse. It's pure speculation. I don't believe it.
That's true. At least 23 are dead and 1,500 missing after a massive landslide in an island in the Philippines swallows hundreds of houses and an elementary school. Mm. Sad.
Listen, I don't question. Everything happens for a reason. That's my thing.
Isn't that the worst, though? The saddest thing. And an elementary school.
Well, a mountain envelops an elementary school, killing all within, but I do believe I have a strong faith in the Almighty, and I know everything happens for a reason. So, you know, there's a reason. Hmm. There's a reason your kid's under 40 foot of mud. There's a reason.
Yeah, because there was a
master
landslide.
Plan.
Yeah.
Can't be
you
questioned.
Cannot be questioned. Cannot be questioned.
Testing your faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Washington police seized enough marijuana last year to declare weed Washington State's number 8 agricultural commodity.
Wow.
The number one crop is apples and weed beat out cherries.
Wow.
That's pretty insane.
I am telling you, people, weed's not bad, but those cherries, the ones, Brian has the name of them, phone screener Brian, the ones.
Yellow
Rainier
and
cherries.
Red?
Rainier cherries. Yeah, probably from Washington, right? Rainier cherries. Yeah, the ones that have a little yellow in them. They're plumper. They're 30% bigger. Regular cherries, the Bing cherries, they're solid. They're good. They're good solid 8. These are 10 plus.
I don't like cherries.
Amazing. Taste one of these and then report
maybe
back
to maybe
me.
I shall, but let me just tell you
how
this.
How do you not like
there,
cherries,
let me just
idiot.
Say something to you.
Yes.
I say this, at the very least, you must agree, that the greatest disparity between the taste of the actual fruit and the candy version of that fruit, the greatest disparity is in the cherry. Cherry-flavored candies are the best, but I don't realize the cherry fruit, not as good.
First off, this coming from the guy who put apples at the top of his fruit list in 2002.
Correct.
I say good day to you and your opinion. Apples are basically the flour, the bread, the filler of the fruit bowl.
That is a shame that you would say such
things. I tell you, when you order fruit salad and you eat all the different fruits, all the melons and everything else, and what's left at the bottom? 3 lonely pieces of green apple.
That's because it's too good for that company.
No, please. It's because it's mediocre. Apples are what you eat when other fruits are out of season.
How could you say that? Crisp,
I mean,
and delicious.
No, look, cherries are better
deep
than apples.
Flesh.
And these Rainier cherries are delightful. But send Big Tad out to find some Rainier cherries. You got to taste these, Dave. You'll turn around. Rachel, what were you talking about?
Well, I was talking about weed.
Yeah.
But
I
now
like weed.
I totally forgot.
Yeah. Weed is agricultural. That's right.
Right. I think that the watermelon is by far the worst fake flavor.
Yes.
I think that tastes nothing like a real watermelon.
The synthesized watermelon flavor is tough. Yeah. I agree.
Anyway, moving on. Bush spoke yesterday about Cheney's reaction to the shooting accident and said that his explanation was a powerful explanation.
I thought his explanation yesterday was a powerful explanation.
Wow.
See, he did say that.
Yeah, you did.
I wouldn't misquote the president.
Powerful.
Yeah, powerful nice. Explanation.
I thought his explanation yesterday was a powerful explanation.
Does everyone have to talk about everything all the time? I know it's ironic that I'm saying that, but what I mean is I did 20 minutes on cherries. But I'm just saying, his vice president, who's some, you know, 75 years old and has a animatronic heart, slipped and shot some old lawyer guy out in the bog. Just you're the president. Just move on to international affairs. You really have to talk about everything all the time. It's like emails. Do we have to answer all of them, or can we just take some crap and move forward? Thank you.
A gym teacher in Florida is in jail on bribery charges for letting kids pay him $1 a day to sit out of gym class. And he's officially accused of taking $230, but the scam went on for so long that it was possibly in the thousands.
Well, these guys are underpaid anyway.
Absolutely. Wouldn't you pay $1 a day to get out of gym class?
And by the way, what greater life lesson to teach the kids than how it really works in the real world? And what are you missing out on? Climbing a rope? How much rope climbing do you do out in the corporate environment? Dodgeball? There's not much of that going on. I haven't seen a utility ball in months. Here's my point. It does work. You give a guy a buck, he lets you do what you want to do. That's an important lesson. I would argue that if I was this guy's attorney. He's teaching him a very important life lesson.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I saw this great thing on TV last night about this growing movement called unschooling. Did you see any of this? Do you know about this?
I think my mom pioneered that in the 70s when I didn't learn to read.
It's not even, I don't think, homeschooling so much as it is just allowing children to just do whatever it is they want. They wake up at 11 if they want.
Yeah.
They don't have to learn anything if they don't want to. There's this one kid that they interviewed, and he actually did go to school for like a day, and this is what he had to say about his experience.
School's terrible. They tell you raise your hands, and it's actually a really, really terrible place.
School's terrible. We are now sort of nurturing an entire crop of pussies in this country. There's kids that want to play video games and do what they want. They're not scared of adults. Remember when you were scared of adults? Scared of your friends' dads? Uh-oh, Mr. Vendig's come home and he's angry. Straighten up.
Now all teenagers are trying to have sex with their friends' moms.
I know.
That's how it's working now.
They think it's preordained. They get to bang their teachers and their friends' moms. You know, if a dad comes in and says, like, hey, how about you wash? Hey, old man, I'll sue your ass right back to the Stone Age. Everyone's suing everyone. Everyone's telling everyone not to listen to everyone. I'll tell you what. You want to know what the answer is?
Yes.
I'll tell you what the answer is for boys and girls. You know what the answer is? Pop Warner football. Pop Warner football. Get those kids out on the gridiron. Get some fat guy with a bad beard and mustache and a windbreaker yelling at them to do push-ups and humiliating them. Holding the ball out, getting them all lined up. Hut! Hut! Have one guy lurch forward. He didn't move the ball. Everyone's doing a lap now. Higginstaller moved. You can all thank Higginstaller for these laps. Beating the crap out of him like they did to the Ace Man. And look at me, I turned out fine.
Now, I agree with the football end of it. But the thing with the school, you know, school is terrible. It's just the first stage of the man, you know, institutionally, you know, choking the life out of you.
Sure.
I hate it. So if I were a big man, a bigger man, I would say these poor kids, this new generation shouldn't have to go through it. But I'm not. And since I had to go through it, now these bastards do.
Yeah, exactly. And let me tell you something. They say warehousing like it's a bad thing. What's so bad about a warehouse? You hang out with other stock items that are waiting there to be sold on the floor. I was warehoused. I turned out fine. Look at me. Me and all my warehousing buddies.
The funny thing is, like, they asked this kid, like, what his favorite thing to do was during the day. He goes shopping on the computer. Oh. And the mother says he's not a worker bee, but he has the mind of an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like these are the parents that didn't like school and they don't want their kids to have to endure that, but...
Yeah, I just want to, we should do that thing that Israel does in lots of European countries where you go right out of high school and you do your 2 years in the military. That's it. You're not 4 years, 2 years, male and female. There you go. You want to go to college after that, so be it.
And in entertainment, I have a big story for you that there's a video featuring Kid Rock and Scott Stapp from Creed that...
They're getting it on, huh?
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
No, they're getting it on in the way that you got it on with Shaun White this morning.
I see. Yeah.
They're getting oral.
From
each other, from groupies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the video is going to be probably coming out from the same people that brought you One Night in Paris. And they're going to charge you. Who wants to pay 70 or 80 bucks to watch Kid Rock or Scott Stapp for that matter?
Right.
Getting it.
Well, that's the whole thing, which is when you have a female celebrity, that's what's in it for us. The guy who's with the female celebrity is just schlong du jour, which was my nom de plume when I used to write novels. When I used to write romance novels, I'd call myself schlong du jour. It's what Mark Twain was to Samuel Clemens. This was penned by the great schlong du jour.
It's so pleased with himself on that one. And you should be.
Thank you. Yes, Swung to Shore, written by his own hand. Well. The point is I don't need to see Kid Rock's What Rhymes with Rock. It's not exciting me. And the girl part, which I am interested in, is just going to be some 18-year-old flunky from Missouri. I'm not interested. Not interested.
Oh, that's too bad, because your birthday's coming up, and I already put in an advanced order.
No, watch. Don't get me wrong.
All right, then. All right. I'm Rachel Perry. That's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Winter Games in Torino. Good news is the U.S. of A. has 6 gold medals. Bad news is 3 other countries have won more already, including the Norwegians. I still am outraged by this.
Who else do we have? We have Russia,
and now the Germans. Now the Nazi threat.
Yeah, they're back.
Canada, yes. We're only 1 medal away from the U.S.
I know. Wow. That's the greatest embarrassment of all.
We have a tenth of your population.
Yeah. Now, Russian Yevgeny Plushenko won gold in men's figure skating, while American Johnny Weir finished out of the medal count altogether because he says the bus at the Olympic Center, Olympic Village, didn't pick him up in time, and it threw him off his game, and in general, he was off his game since he showed up in Torino. Here's a little more from this rugged Olympic athlete.
I pulled out one jump, and the triple Lutz combination I pulled because the Lutz was a little bit off on the landing. So I was going to do it on the flip, and then I thought about it too much, and I did a little hoppy hops instead.
Regular Steve McQueen, isn't he?
Wow, man's man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Schlong to shore.
NBA last night, Phoenix Suns brought great shame to the Houston Rockets. They beat them by 39 points.
Wow.
The NBA is now on break for a few days for the All-Star game. Little vacation. Interesting statistic. Do you know that just since the NBA games ended last night until right now, U.S. pregnancies have gone up 400%.
Wow, just a couple nights off, and those guys are right back on it.
Pac-10 hoops last night. Stanford, Cal, number 21, Washington were winners. It's a crazy time in college hoops right now. Eddie Sutton, the coach of Oklahoma State, is on a hiatus because he's back hitting the bottle. Coach Knight of Texas Tech, he refuses to talk to anybody about Indiana University and their troubles. As a matter of fact, here's a little of Coach Knight in an interview with ESPN.
I want to ask you about Indiana. Mike Davis, yesterday in a conference call.
I have absolutely no interest in talking about Indiana.
You were there for a long time, Coach, and Mike Davis said that this is a school that needs to have one of their own to take over. Oh, Coach, don't take the European
Dear. Yeah. You know, I saw that, and here's the whole thing, and this is why I always scope it out if you ever do an interview or a satellite interview. Figure out how to get out of your earpiece and lavalier mic without strangling yourself. Because, you know, when you do that, this interview is over, and then you wrestle with your equipment for the next 20 minutes, like a retarded guy trying to get a turtleneck sweater off himself without using his hands. That looks crappy. He had the alligator clip on the back of his collar. He was trying to pull his earpiece off. If he had a hairpiece, it would have come off.
It's the equivalent of saying, I am out of here, and going for the door, and it's locked. And can somebody unlock this door for me?
That's what I'm saying. Just prepare your escape before you announce your leaving.
Well, it's tough times at my alma mater, Indiana University, because, of course, I'm a great Coach Knight fan. Great man. Mm-hmm. Now, Mike Davis, who replaced him, stepped down yesterday. He said, you know, he's an African-American, and he said that maybe Indiana University needs one of their own to coach the team. That's what they need.
You mean like a white guy?
Well, it's implied, but then he said, well, it's somebody who played it, who's from Indiana, but Coach Knight himself, of course, is from Ohio and played at Ohio State, so I think we can assume that maybe he's suggesting they need a white man in there, mm-hmm. and he held a press conference where he announced he was quitting, and it was very dramatic. Listen to this.
Get your pencils and notepads ready, boys, because I got a newsflash. I quit, I tell you. Excuse me. Hello, Mr. Sheldrake. That's right, Mr. Sheldrake, I quit. You can't fire me. I quit. I've had it. I'm hitting the bricks. Time to skedaddle, vamoose, and so on. Good day, sir. I said good day.
He's a man of color himself.
Yeah. And he is outraged. Mike Davis is out, and so am I.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
I just got this note from producer Brusca. Schlong de Jour is going to be doing a book signing at the Brea Brentanos this Saturday. You want to come out, bring the kids, 1 to 3 p.m. Owner of the 99-cent store, David Gold. I have a million questions for this guy. I don't know how this store makes money. And isn't it 99 cents only store? Does he get angry when you just call it the 99 cent store? We have many items here, including a bottle of red wine from the 99 cent store that we are going to do a blind comparison against. An expensive bottle of wine?
Yeah, about $60.
That's expensive. We'll figure out if we can tell the difference. He's old. He's a kook. He'll be in here in a second.
This is Ron White. Call Adam Carolla now. I said now. At 1-866-901-ADAM
for Adam. Mm-hmm. Dave Attell is coming in. Comedian Dave Attell. Also, we have a neurologist from USC to talk about the feasibility of my lie detector taking over the court system. Damashek's mom, Mo Damashek, and dad, fiance Cindy are coming in here. Cindy with an I, that is, coming in here later on, too. Mo Damashek is going to read some quite possibly painful emails that were levied toward her son, David. Speaking of David, David Gold is here. David is the founder, the CEO. Yes?
Yeah. Yes, glad to be here.
President of the 99-cent store. 99 only or 99-cent?
99-cent only stores.
Yes, which there's probably two within a stone's throw of here. I remember these things. It was founded in 82. Was it founded out here in the Southland?
Yes, the first store was in Los Angeles near LAX on La Terra Boulevard. It's right. Still there.
And
still what, a good store.
Seems like I passed. I grew up in North Hollywood. It seemed like I saw one or two out there. And the thing that's funny is it used to be a notch above the Salvation Army or the Goodwill, and now it's in vogue. Now the idea, now this is, these places are popping up everywhere. They used to be in tough neighborhoods. Now they're in good neighborhoods, right?
Our best stores are in high-income areas.
Yeah, really. Well, that's how I literally became a millionaire. Not by giving away my money to, I don't go down to Barney's in New York to get some cleanser and some feminine pads. I go to the 99 cent only store. Yes?
That's great.
Thank you. Thank you.
99 cents.
Yeah, thanks for sharing, Adam.
Yes. Well, the cleanser's not for me. I mean, do the math. $650 million a year, 142 stores in California, Nevada, and Arizona. How did you get started with this?
Basically, we had a store in downtown Los Angeles, a liquor store, mm-hmm. in the Grand Central Public Market, and we were selling wines for 89 cents, 99 cents, $1.19, $1.39, mm-hmm. and $1.49. So one day we decided in the early 60s mm-hmm. to sell them all at 99 cents, and the sales just skyrocketed. So my wife Sherry and I decided it would be a really great deal to have a store that had quality merchandise and sold everything at 99 cents. So normally you have an idea, and 6 months later you see someone else doing the idea. So so everybody was nudging us. So 20 years later, in 1982, we opened up the first store on Friday the 13th of August, 1982.
How do you do it? I mean, I'm looking at the list of stuff for 99 cents. I see the Anna Kournikova video. I see the fuel injection cleaner, rawhide bones, sacks of 8 Pippin or Granny Smith apples. But I mean, I'm looking at the thing. You have like Be Certain Home Pregnancy Test, 99 cents. I call me old fashioned, but I'll go ahead and splurge and spend up to $2 for a home pregnancy test just to make sure. Fantasy multicolor condoms, 12 pack. 99 cents. I mean, some of the stuff, frozen salmon steaks, 99 cents. Here's one, like, okay, so a bunch of food and condoms and stuff, but jumper cables, you know, mechanical stuff. 99 cents for, 20 foot of cable with the big alligator clips on each end, fully insulated. How is this physically possible? I know the answer is probably China, but where do you get all this
stuff?
You
gotta read the fine print. The salmon is from 1993.
Oh, it's a 93 store. Yes. How do you do this?
Basically, you get quality merchandise and you have a really great relationship with your suppliers. And if we got $1.99, $2.99, $3.99, nothing in the stores above 99 cents, the vendors would charge us $1.50 or $2. So mm-hmm. this way they're forced to charge us 75 cents or less.
But some of this stuff is aged a little bit. I mean, obviously when Anna Kournikova, and I'm not making a slide at the company, but when she came up with her workout video, it was 6 years ago. Absolutely. And it cost $14. Now it's worth, like a used car that's not been used, it's been sitting on the showroom floor or in the back with the fleet for 8 years, now it's 99 cents.
That's
how correct. How do you come across this stuff?
Basically, we buy a lot of videos from Sony and Time Warner, and after the big play of right. selling things for $19 or $20 or $15 or $10, they just have a couple million left, and they know that we will pay the bills. We have never canceled a PO in over 20 years of being in business, and it's just a wonderful fun. And last year was the first year.
Hold on, you say wonderful fun?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Because
you go to work.
Video stock from Sony, it's a hoot.
I'm laughing right now.
Shek's honeymoon's coming up, and they're looking for creative ideas. Should they head over to the Sony warehouse? That'd be a great time. It's not wonderful fun. It's good if you're making a ton of money. That's fun, right?
Yeah, last year, in 2005, we took in over $1 billion. So
wow.
The company's growing.
99 cents at a time.
Do you ever, do Randy Quaid's people ever show up at the door and they say, like, hey, we got a gaggle of these Caddyshack 2 videos. If you want to sell them for 99 cents, you ever say, like, that crap for 99 cents? You're crazy.
Yeah, but once we buy it, it becomes quality.
I see.
We have Mark on the line who owns a set of the jumper cables for 99 cents. Mark?
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
How say you?
I say me.
You bought some jumper cables for 99 cents?
I bought some jumper cables about 3 years ago, and you know what? I've used them like 3 times already, and I still have them right in the back of my Durango on the way to work.
You know what would be great?
I've bought everything.
And for 99 cents, you buy 5 pair. You throw one in the car, you throw one in the garage, you tie up the neighbor's kid with one of them. You do everything with these things. Speaking of the wife, when are you guys going to open a jewelry department so I can get in there? Honey, our anniversary. Oh, look at this tennis bracelet. Wonderful.
And tell him I got them from the Yorba Linda store, as a matter of fact.
That's his favorite store, the Yorba Linda store.
Tommy Lasorda goes to that store.
Really? Yeah. A lot of celebrities. Oh, yeah, that's nice. Yeah, do you have the celebrity headshots like they do at the dry cleaners or the barber shop? You know, big picture of Tommy Lasorda smiling, holding something for 99 cents?
Geez, that's a great idea. We're always open to great ideas.
Now is everything... I know this sounds stupid, but is everything 99 cents and under, or did you say there are things for like $2.99?
No, nothing in the store is above 99 cents. Like, we have candy bars, 3 for $99 every day.
Right.
And there's items 2 or 3 for $99.
And if I wanted to have sex with the chick behind the register, 99 cents?
2 for $99.
Wow. Such a deal. All right, let's take a break. We have some wine that David Gold brought from the 99 only cent thingy store, and we're going to taste some, and we're going to compare it against a highfalutin $60 bottle of wine. See, look, here's the point. If we can tell the difference, that's fine. If we don't spit yours out, it's still a victory. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
We'll do a little blind taste test after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
That's right. David Gold is in studio, founder, CEO of the 99-cent only store. He's 74 years young. He's on the Forbes 400 wealthiest.
That's terrible.
Estimated $650 million fortune. Looks like he spends $8 on his attire.
looks kind of like an elderly Howard Hughes.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Eccentric. Probably still frugal. Are you frugal?
I guess so. I'm myself, I am.
You're cheap with yourself.
With myself.
What kind of car do you drive?
We have, my wife, Sherry, has a Prius, and I have a Prius, and those are the two cars we have.
They have, like,
the hybrids.
$25,000 cars are basically what you're driving.
When we purchased them, they were about about $20,000.
Right. Now, here's the thing about people that make money. It seems like you have this sort of guy, the new money, the guy who, you know, just hit it rich in the NBA or the rap world or whatever. He's spending more. I mean, I watched the show Cribs. There's some rap act that I've never heard of in my life, and he has three Bentleys, and I'm thinking this guy probably ain't tucking much away. And then there's the millionaire who is making tons of money and still living in the same apartment in Van Nuys and driving the $19,000 car. I'm guessing you're more that guy. Why not splurge a little? You're 74 years old. You're not going to be on the planet forever. You have more money than you could spend in your lifetime. How about driving a $28,000 car?
I think it's really important for the environment to make sure that we are not dependent on foreign oil.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a clean thing. My wife and I have always been
environmentalists. Well, then how about getting a Prius and sticking a bunch of jewels to it and putting some, like, 35-inch rims on it?
That's a great idea.
All I'm saying is start spending some of that money. Do you have kids?
Sure.
But watch out. They're going to put a hit on you. If you were my dad, I'd hire a hobo to kill you. I would. And all of a sudden, it'd be the $99. I'd take the cent off the thing and just put the dollar mark. Everything in this store is $99. Bungee cords, $99. Kleenex, $99. The small travel toothpaste, $99. You don't like it? Get out. I've liquidated everything. I'm going to Bermuda. Your kids, are they in the business world as well?
Yes, they are. They work with the company.
They work with your company?
With the company.
We're
a public company with everybody.
Right, and they're making money. And they're spending their money, I'm guessing, right? Not like
a lot better than I am.
How much do you have, your wife is frugal as well?
I don't think we're frugal. There's never been a time that we've gone out for dinner that we haven't paid for everyone. And we're not, but on ourselves, it's not that important.
But that's my point. You're generous with your family, with your coworkers, and all that. What about yourself? Why not?
Well, we just enjoy having people do well. And that's really important to us that they do well. And, you know, what you were just saying is kind of interesting because if all of a sudden you get some money and then you start having a home in Bermuda and one in Paris and a jet and all these things. They said the money affected you. Mm. And then if you act like and have the same friends as you had all the way up, they think, gee whiz, you're nuts.
Right.
You know, so you can't win. But we just prefer to have the same friends we had. And it's been fun.
We've had a fun life. As soon as I hit it big, I got rid of all my old friends. I sent my assistant to go over there and slap him across the face with a white glove.
As soon as we attained some money, we got a lot of new friends.
I'm angry, by the way, now that I have money, that everything is so goddamn cheap. I mean, it's like when I remember when I was poor, a hamburger at McDonald's was 99 cents or a buck or whatever it is, and 20 years later, it's 99 cents or a buck. You know, I was looking through a newspaper. I found an old newspaper from like 1974, and I came across the sports part where it had the electronics place ad, and it's Sony Trinitron color TV, 13 inches with remote. $389. And I thought, wow, the minimum wage was like $1.65 at that time. I mean, TV sets, cars. I mean, now you can be poor. You can be a school teacher and go home to a big flat screen TV, go shop at the 99 cent only store, go eat, go get 99 cent burgers over at McDonald's. You're fine. Never been a better time to be poor in this country, I say. How say you?
Well, it's not a good time to be poor because basically the cost of housing is so ridiculously high.
Yeah, right. And so you live in a refrigerator box underneath the overpass. Who cares? You have a flat screen TV and surround sound.
Great.
All right. I want to play this game, this little challenge. And by the way, more 99 cent items. A cleaver for 99 cents. A CD cleaner, 99 cents. Fuel injection cleaner. What is that? Backstreet Boys. We got coffee for 99 cents. Backstreet Boys record album or book album. What the hell? Is that a muffler gasket set over there for 99 cents? It's exhaust gasket. flange gasket. My God. I'll tell you, what a country we're living in. This is why the terrorists hate us.
Everything that Jim Brusca is wearing right now, he got at the 99 cents.
No, he shops across the street at the 89 cents.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, it's that cheap. Kathy Lee's Rockin' Tots Cafe. What a gift. What
Give
a Christmas
that.
Gift. You want this?
Give me that.
Take it. I'm
going to
throw it.
Don't throw it.
Here we go.
You're going to knock something over.
No, here we go. I just killed David Gold. All right, let's play this game with this beautiful booze over here. We have red wine. We have the one. We have red wine for 99 cents. It's Pergian. How do you say this? Do you know how to pronounce it, David? Am I making this up?
No.
What is this called, Brusca? Do we know how to pronounce it? Somebody,
David Gold says, I don't know what the name of that crap is.
We'll just call it a Pergian. It's a cab. It's a Cabernet. It's 99 cents. And then we have another one, which is a Cole Solaire, which is $80. We got on sale for $60. But $80 bottle of cab versus a 99 cent bottle of cab. So should we try? We don't know which one's which. We have
Drink
two
the one
glasses
on the left
here.
First.
The one on the left first. All right. Let's see. Nice bouquet.
This one. Put me here.
All right. I don't usually drink wine at 7:54. It's usually just grain alcohol this time. Wine I usually drink in the 6 o'clock hour. But I'll take another sip. It's polite. It's nice. It has a nice finish. It's assertive without being pushy.
Mm.
All right. Now I'm going to eat this Backstreet Boys book to cleanse my palate. How do I cleanse my palate, Brusca? Brusca, get over here and cleanse my palate.
I know nothing about
Don't
wine.
Don't argue. Make
get
with
Sean
the cleansing.
White. Get Sean White back in here to cleanse your palate.
Please. I'm going to take a sip of water, I think, to cleanse my palate, I would suggest. Rachel, did you take a sip of the wine as well?
I took a sip of the wine,
mm-hmm.
And then I had some of my tea.
All right, so that cleansed it? All right, check. Is your palate cleansed?
It's cleansed, but I just want to say, I don't know if it's the booze talking, but Brusca, you got a butt that won't quit.
Yeah. Dude, you've been giving me the stink eye since I got here. You got something to say. Now's the time.
You think you're so great, but I got news for you. You're not.
Dude, maintain. You're out of control. Get out of my face. All right, now we try the second wine.
Now you try the one on the right.
It's nice, too. It's a little fruitier.
I think
Check
I got
as
this
a puss
one.
On.
I think I got this one.
I think I do, too. But it's like we were saying, even if you can tell the difference, one, it's $60 a bottle. The other, 99 cents a bottle. Yeah. If the other one isn't, you know, radiator fluid. If you don't just spit the other one out, it's a victory.
Since you guys are so sure, maybe these guys go first.
Mm-hmm. I do enjoy them. I do enjoy them both. I think I have the winner, but I do enjoy them both. Rachel, how say you?
Yeah, they were both good. I'm going to say the fruitier one, the one on the right, is the 99 cent one.
The second one. Check.
I'm going to say
you?
I'm going to say the first one is the expensive one, and the second one I'm going to throw in David Gold's face.
Wow!
How dare you, sir?
I got to tell you, the first one, without sounding like an expert, it's a little more complex. There seems to be a few more layers to it, but the second one is nice.
Yeah.
A lot of inexpensive wine has a sort of bitter, acidic taste to it, and this is sort of fruitier, not as dry. So we're going with the $80 or $60 bottle one is number one, and the 99 center is number two. Is that correct?
You got it.
Yeah, but still, all right. All right, not great radio. I got to be honest with you. Not great radio. Maybe that's the booze talking. But I'm open now. Hey, I'm going to let my freak flag fly here. I'm gay, by the way.
So, let's finish off that $80 bottle.
Yes.
And then the 99 cent bottle is going to taste the same after that.
Absolutely.
That's true.
All right, I want to thank David Gold for coming in here and proving his point. I'm not sure what it is. 99 cent on. Maintain, dude. Dude!
David Gold, you're the best, dude.
Dude, you're out of control. Now
you guys
to
are
me,
the
dude.
Best.
You're not the boss of me.
Hey, dude, I'm telling you right now, you got to maintain. Okay, dude?
Get over here,
Give
Brusca.
Me the keys. No, you're not. Give me the microphone. You're not using the mic. Dude. Scooter Moose, give me a hand over here. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Dave Attell is in here. I was paying Dave a compliment, probably somewhere in the 6 o'clock hour, saying that I've seen Dave do stand-up at least on one occasion. I think it was in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And a lot of people talk about seeing comedians or singers or something, performers, and they go, I was inspired. That's when I knew I wanted to do that. But when I saw Dave Attell do stand-up, that's when I realized I had no business doing stand-up. It was quite the opposite. It squashed my dreams. I thought, well, I could have done this, but now I see I can never do this.
We do. You got to come back out.
I'm not going to do it, Dave. I've seen how it can go. And I've decided that I am not going to be a hollow figurine of your stand-up.
It's like the Olympics. Kwan is down. We need you to jump in. We need you off the bench.
That is, I'm going to add that to my list of things I want to do. You know, I have a long list of things I'd like to do, like have a cape removed from me when I'm on stage by somebody, and dive into a body of water with a knife in my mouth. Again, I have to do these things.
That sounds like Gallagher's act.
A long list. One of the things I want to do is have to hop on a plane immediately because someone needs me. Not for a funeral for some idiot I didn't know in Philadelphia. I'm talking about the government.
Yeah, the president gives you a call.
You're That's in the midst right. of a vigorous lovemaking session, and suddenly the phone rings, and you'll say, I'll be there in 20 minutes.
Duty calls.
Yeah.
Yes.
I got to go, babe.
Yes. Normally, that just means I have to use the bathroom, but this time when duty calls, it means I have to save the world. Dave is going to be at the Brea Improv tonight through Sunday, and you enjoy doing stand-up, do you not, Dave?
Yeah, it seems that's the thing I do, and I'm on the road a lot, and it's cool to come out here because, you know, I live in New York, so come out here and try and hit as many clubs and hang in town and, you know, do the whole scene. So, I like it.
Do you have, I know you had success with Insomniac mm-hmm. and a few other ventures, but you're not one of these stand-ups that wants to get into a sitcom. Are you?
I don't want to be the lead of a sitcom because I always think me and a group of kids usually leads to some kind of internet porn pedophile
right.
thing.
Right.
But I want to be like the kind of the third or fourth lead. You know what that is? That's like the guy who comes in is like, can I borrow a toothbrush?
Right.
Something like that, you know? But I'm not really an actor, as you know, so I got to go with whatever comes my way.
But so you don't aspire to that. I mean, you enjoy.
No, not really.
And when life on the road, not tiring. At
oh,
this
it's
stage?
Exhausting.
It
Look
is.
At me. Yeah,
it's true. You're a mess. But the thing about Dave Attell is he's sort of a perpetual out of shape 38-year-old.
38. I wish.
No, that's what I'm saying though. What I'm saying is when you were 24, you look like a beat up 38-year-old, and when you're 51, you'll look like a beat up 38-year-old.
I hope so.
Never a good 38-year-old, but perpetually 38. That's what I'm saying.
It does wear you down, especially if you watch the Olympics. Like I'm sure you've been watching it. And,
oh yeah.
You know, you see these people. They've been working out for years and years and years, and they go there, and you know, they're just the optimum shape. And you look at yourself, and you're like, you know, this is hilariously bad. I can't believe, you know. First of all, I don't know if you're following the Winter Olympics.
I am.
Okay.
I am.
Now, let me ask you something. You would know. Is there a special Winter Olympics?
Oh, interesting.
Is there I'm pretty sure that they at least put them at the top of the slopes on skis and push them down.
Well, I know. I've seen
it
all
is all about falling down anyhow. I mean,
I have seen all the, you know, they do the amputees and all that kind of stuff. But the special Winter Olympics, interesting.
I don't think they've gotten to that level. Maybe that's something we can champion. Mm-hmm. To bring that, you know, mm-hmm. to the next level. But, I am an
Do they carry the torch in the Special Olympics? And if so, could you imagine them setting fire to everything as they ran along the street?
I enjoy the bobsled with the Special Olympians as long as they're mic'd up.
I feel like I could get one to win now. I feel like if they would let me, give me a special needs child, a roll of duct tape, and let me just push, I think I could probably take that gold.
You know, half of them are wearing snow pants year-round anyhow, so you might as well just...
Yeah, I know. Special Winter Olympics. Write that down. You can see it. You can hear it tonight at the Brea Improv.
Put it in the premise box.
I want to ask you a couple of hypothetical questions.
I love these.
These are. It started many years ago. I was thinking of one where I thought, and it's easy for a guy, but we can ask you too, Dave.
I'm a guy too.
Yeah, I mean, it's an easy question for a guy. Women wrestle with it more, but I thought to myself, here's the hypothetical. You work. Think of the most disgusting person you work with. I mean, just the least attractive person you work with. And then the hypothetical is, do you actually have sex with that person and nobody knows about it, or not have sex with that person and everyone in the office swears you did and you can't talk them out of it?
Wow. It's somebody you work with?
Somebody you work with. You have to see them every day. They will think they had sex with you, and so will everyone in the office, or you could actually have sex with them, and their mind will be shaken like an Etch-a-Sketch. They'll have no memory of you and your sweet lovemaking.
I don't know, man. That's a good question, because are they really disgusting, like freakishly, like they could make money off of their...
Yeah, they could actually be compensated, well compensated for their disgustitude.
I think if they're that disgusting, then you should tell everybody, because then that kind of gives you bragging rights.
Oh, really? Yeah. See, as a guy, I'm sorry, that's wrong. See, as a woman, you can't do that, but right. As a guy... It's a weird, you know what it is? It's like me when I failed driver's ed in high school. Now it's a badge of honor.
Yeah.
I failed driver's ed. It's funny now. It's more interesting. Better off later in life if you're successful to say you were flunked out of high school than say you were a C-minus student.
Yeah, you know? And it's a good reason to, you're not supposed to have sexual whatever in the workplace. So right. They're like, come on, she has a tail. I mean, really.
Right. It's not a human being. Yeah. Our own Rachel Perry, I believe, was forthright enough to say she would rather just bite the bullet.
Oh, yeah.
Have a shot of the 99-cent cab and just go ahead and have sex and then have it wiped from everyone's memory, right?
I'd take an Ambien first. Right. I would never remember it either, so right. It didn't happen.
Rub a little Orajel downstairs, pop an Ambien, and just pretend you're in Bermuda.
Oh, that's nasty.
We've all done it. Orajel suppository, shot of the 99-cent cab, and you're somewhere in Bermuda thing is over.
Just roofie myself and get it over with.
Yeah, then you just hop in that bath and take that 70s rape bath. Can't get clean. Soft music, candles.
Rubbing myself.
Crying. Fetal position in the corner of the shower.
I spit on your grave theme.
Yes. All right, so Dave... Would not have sex with the person. He'd use it as bragging rights.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
I would have sex and tell everybody and I would say just do it, you know?
All right. Now here's another hypothetical. These are guys you travel cross country with. Who's in the car? One guy, guy A or guy B? A gassy Jimmy Kimmel or a very caffeinated Craig Ferguson?
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of car is it?
It's a Prius.
Oh, okay.
It's a 01 Prius. It's burgundy with the tan interior. And it has a sound package. It has a Bose sound package.
And we have, what else do we have in the car? Do we have,
golf clubs.
Golf clubs?
In the back.
The windows don't work, by the way.
I don't know Craig as well as I know Jimmy, so I would have to say Jimmy. But
a gassy Jimmy Kimmel?
Well, you got windows, right? It's that kind of car? Sunroof?
Well, you can open the sunroof, but the windows are locked up. You have to stay.
Oh, boy, this is
up.
Harder.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can always let out gas, but that incredible Scottish accent.
Yeah.
That comes around for a while, so I'd say I'd have to go with the Jimmy thing.
All right. Sorry, that's wrong.
Wow.
Yeah, you have not experienced his gas.
First of all, how are there wrong answers in hypothetical questions?
Well, I didn't think there was until now. Evidently, there can be wrong answers. You're
it's like going
two,
to a buffet
friend.
And you pick too many croutons and a buzzer goes off. Well, there's no wrong to it.
Jimmy used to tell me when he went to the buffet in Vegas with his dad and he'd get a heaping thing of rice, his dad would go, put that back. That's what they want you to take. Like there's some kind of buffet conspiracy. Black ops buffet guys. Look, I like rice, old man. You mind? All right. Here's another one. Cross country. Person who claims they can't handle caffeine. You know that person that says if they have an ounce of caffeine at noon, they're up all night. You know that puss?
Yeah, a child.
Yes. Or many, many women I know. Or... the bad, weird, limp handshake guy.
Oh.
This is the guy who shakes your hand and it feels like you're grabbing a dead fish.
That guy.
That guy?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, I'd rather be with that guy, that half a freak, than somebody who's like a decaf, you know, everything bothers me, the environment is making me sick. That's a long car ride.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, that's the tip of the iceberg. Yeah,
you may be right. But I would argue that the handshake, guys, is just a precursor to the rest of this guy's weirdness, too. This is how he greets you, but there's more to come. And what is that, by the way? I've met guys who shake hands and they go right to left instead of up and down. You know that guy?
Yeah.
Once in a while, I get that guy. Then there's the over-aggressive guy who's going to prove his point by grabbing your three fingers at the very end and pinching those off as if he's marking his territory like
David
a lion
Guest.
Urinating on you.
David
yes,
Guest
David
had
Guest
had
came in
hand.
Here.
Then there's this guy.
Mr. Minnelli. Yeah, Mr. Minnelli came in here with that.
Oh, shake your wrist?
Yeah, the shake the wrist guy. Oh, by the way, how difficult is this to master? Just the handshake. Just clasp hands, go up and down 2.5 times and break. Don't go sideways. Don't go limp. Don't turn. Oh, don't wrestle.
The one
don't
that
squinch.
Holds on too long.
Yes, there's the extra one. There's the other guy who's going to come around with the free hand and swipe a little more of his smegma on the top of your hand and do that one. The double hand guy.
I thought out here nobody shakes. I thought they all do that look like kind of, you know, power.
We do the fist yeah. now because we're tired of the germs. Yeah.
Right, the bird flu. That's going to stop
that's
it.
Right.
A lot of people want to start out here. They want to start with the regular handshake, then turn it into the you know, arm wrestling move, and then with the other arm, you know,
right.
punch the in the back. Yeah.
Right, here's the last one. You're going to hate this guy. Now, you're 0-3. Let's see if
yeah,
we can
I really haven't,
this
I haven't
one. You've been
me.
A little off your game. It's
I'm never going to get my degree at hypothetical college. This way.
Here's this one. The guy, the pretty boy, usually blonde, grows the bangs out the same length as the hair and then constantly is pulling them back when he's talking, but they fall right back into the exact same place. So, 0.6 of a second later, they're right back where they were. He does it when he's thinking. When he works out, mm-hmm. he ties it up in a sort of a ponytail around the other hair, like Laurie Partridge used to do. But this guy, when he's working out, he ties it up. But the other time, it just dangles right in front of his face, and he constantly fixes it with his two fingers. He pulls it back, pulls it straight down the part line and back, and it falls right back again.
Because he
that
likes guy, the girls.
He likes to do it. It's just this sort of, he likes the way he looks doing it.
I hate that guy. I want to slap him with my dead hand right now.
All right, that guy's bad, but how about the guy? How about this guy, Dave? That's only one guy. Oh. How about the guy who interviews himself? This guy goes, do I think there's a problem in the Middle East? Yes, of course I do. Does it mean there should be some intervention? Yes, of course. Does this mean we light everyone on fire and toss them into the Salton Sea? Of course not. The guy does a hard-hitting interview with himself.
That is a great one. I don't even know if there's a right answer. Can I just light myself on fire in that one?
Yes, you know what? You got that one right. That's right. You burn yourself like a yogi protesting the Vietnam War. All right, we're going to take ourselves a quick break. Dave Attell is hanging here. Well, it's not bad. You went 0-4, and then you pushed on one by just setting yourself on fire. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
That's right. If you could only slow that down a little more, we'll just get to the 10 o'clock hour and all begin our three-day weekend. 866-901-ADAM. Dave Attell. The comedian is...
I'm one away from out of the business.
I have seen Dave. I saw Dave when I was in San Francisco and never laughed harder. And I think he did a good hour, maybe hour and 10 minutes, and the place.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys. I can't do more than an hour and 10.
Mm-hmm.
It goes immediately to just sad and pathetic. A lot of guys go up there for like 2-3 hours. Have you ever seen that? Like you go down to a club and there's a guy up there for like 3 hours.
Well, when the guy starts opening his spiral-bound notebook and dragging his finger down it, that's when I get the check usually. Like, it look, just, if you can't work it out in advance, I'm not going to sit here.
40 minutes of comedy, an hour and a half of theories.
Right,
comedy
yes.
theory.
Brevity, the soul of wit, everybody. No one wants to see you hammer out the joke. And like, here's the thing. I don't want to see you do anything. It's the same guy who does Tai Chi in the park. Go to your living room and work it out. You hipster comedians who go up there with 3x5 cards and notebooks, work it out in your crappy apartment and then give me the abridged version. I'd like the cliff notes of your act.
Well, I always like when they write something down and it's not even like an intricate, you know, whatever detail thing. It's something like, so they pull out the card. My girlfriend left me, I'm like, you can't remember that?
How do you feel about that, though, in this 21st century where we've got, you know, guys fighting in Iraq, and then you got guys jumping off ski jumps, you know, to win gold medals and so on and so forth? These, it's become in vogue for comedians to discuss the courage it takes. This, nothing more trying than standing on a stage under the white hot light.
You're who's naked discussing out there? The courage?
Well, it's a big thing, yeah.
Oh, really?
You go out there alone.
I guess it takes a pair of cojones to do some of it, but I don't, who are these people, unless they're overcoming an incredible disease or dyslexia. Names.
No harder thing it's not in really the world that hard. To do than comedy. There's two things that somebody announced, actually three things that somebody announced about 20 years ago and everyone just bought into it. The one is, no harder feat in sports than to take a round baseball bat and put it onto a round ball. I tend to disagree with that. I would say kicking a 55-yard field goal would be a little tougher than hitting a softball, but that's me. But someone decided that, and then somebody also said, no tougher thing to do than comedy.
Wow.
Drama, it's nothing. Pales in comparison. I would argue that it's harder to make yourself cry without punching yourself in the face.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I don't know about that. There's no roids in comedy, unlike baseball, so you have to either do it or you don't do it. But people do give it a lot more emotional thing than it is. It's basically, like you said earlier, we were talking about like home design and all that stuff. It's like a lot of people who wouldn't work in an office do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they're just different type of people. I think the same thing for comedy. It's a lot of people who just, you know, they don't fit anywhere else.
You're essentially unemployable.
Right. Exactly.
That's right.
A rogue.
100 years ago, you'd just be walking around rattling a can or working on a railroad or something. It strikes me, well, not you. I mean, you and your ilk.
No, I could see working on a railroad. I mean, you know.
It strikes me that about 3/4 of this town would not be doing anything 100 years ago. Publicists, all these attorneys, all these agents and managers, we'd all be on the railroad. We'd all just be digging with the coolies out there, swinging a pickaxe all day long. Lee?
Yeah?
You have a question?
Yeah, hey, how you guys doing today? My question's for David Zell. I do some stand-up comedy in Las Vegas.
Well, you're very brave.
Yeah.
Yes, it takes a lot of guts to get up there alone on stage.
What's up, man?
Hey, Dave, I heard that you never repeat the same joke twice.
Well, that's not true. I probably say it differently.
He does it three times. That's the thing. It's not twice. It's three.
Yeah, it's not. If you're asking about like my act particularly, I get bored with my material probably before anybody else. So I try and mix it up, and I do a lot of self-destructive things with it. You know, I'll take the joke and I'll just flip it around and all that kind of stuff. But I do repeat the same. I wish I had like an hour of new material every night. I'm not like a, who would that be, like a Eric Bogosian or something. Or
yeah,
something
like, you know. That would be Bogosian-esque. The thing is it's virtually impossible. I mean, a lot of guys take 10 years putting together 45 minutes, for Christ's sake.
Right.
It's virtually impossible to go up there and do a fresh hour every night.
It gets harder as time goes on because, you know, things that you thought were funny now are like, you know, either politically incorrect or just, it just gets harder. So I hope it's going well for you, man.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I just handed this note about the only comedian who could go up there and do a fresh act.
Who is it?
Jeff Ross.
There you go. Well, I always like when guys do... Jeff, he's a buddy of mine, but I always like when guys do impressions, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there's no jokes in the impression. So they took, like, name the cat. Like, I'm going to do a William Shatner on his least funniest moment, you know? It's like, catch him on a good day.
Yeah. Thanks, Lee.
All right, thank you, guys.
We have another adoring fan up here, I think. Mike?
Yes?
You've seen Dave in Vegas?
Yeah, Dave, I saw him at the Comedy Festival in November.
Oh, cool. That was me and Lewis Black.
Yeah, Lewis Black, that's it. Man, you were definitely money well spent. You were much funnier than the other guys, but you were hilarious.
Hey, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, I would not tour with Dave Attell. Too funny.
That's what the other guys were saying.
Yeah, everyone does that thing where they're like, oh, you want a good guy to warm up the audience. Not that good, though.
Well, Lewis is really good. Lewis Black.
Sure,
I don't know if you had him in here yet, but he's a great guy. He's out there also, man. He's out there every week doing it, and that was a good show. Too bad I had to roll out because I heard that was a fun week in Vegas.
What happened? You had to leave?
Great.
Yeah, I had to go do a gig somewhere else, but, you know.
The whole comedy festival was like a whole weekend of comics everywhere. Actors, actresses, everything. It was big.
All right.
in Vegas.
Yeah.
Then to top it off, when I got out of Dave Attell, they had free tickets to the Mexican midget wrestling.
Really? Free tickets?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, you usually have to pay a premium for those.
I usually go to the matinee because it's cheaper, but...
Yeah, try to get the kids' prices. It's nothing worse than getting stuck by one of those scalpers for the Mexican midget wrestling things, you know?
That's just the comedy festival goes from one end to the other.
Yeah, you know? I mean, the ticket says $29.50, but this guy wants $1,800. What are you going to do? Kids like, looking at you with those eyes. Yeah,
it's like the political sarcasm of Bill Maher or midget Mexican wrestlers tunneling their way into the country and wrestling right in your kitchen.
That's an interesting. That'd be an interesting thing if tunnels are the way the Latino man is getting into this country. I wonder if they'll start getting shorter.
Well, I was wondering because there's no Mexican Winter Olympic team. And that's because there's no tunneling into America event. Now, if we turn that into an event...
Yeah. How dare
was
you.
Was that a bad story, anyhow? I mean...
How dare you.
Can you imagine, like, you're in your kitchen. Mm-hmm. Some guys come out of the bowels. Mm-hmm. They've got tons of pot. Mm-hmm. Isn't that kind of like every kid's dream?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Kool-Aid guy bursting through. But instead of Kool-Aid, he has pot.
Right.
The thing about tunneling, too, as I realize, is there's other things you can do that you're not going to catch any notice from. Like, I could rob a liquor store, then put the gun back in my pocket and leave the liquor store, and no one's going to go, hey, that guy leaving the liquor store just robbed. No, I've just got the gun in my sweat jacket. If you crawl out of the ground, you're guilty.
Yeah.
Something happened. There's no, that guy's crawling out of the dirt. Well, maybe he's just down there for something. Yeah, I don't know. Stay out of his business. Maybe he's escaped from the grave, from an earthy grave. I mean, here's all the if you crawl from the ground, you look like you're up to something. You automatically look suspicious. And if you find a hole, something's up. There's no way the guy likes a hole. Dave Attell is here. We are going to give him a plug and then say good day to him because we have a neurologist coming in here from USC. We're going to talk about my lie detector.
Oh, you took one?
Well, I have this theory that if we can get the world scientists together and agree on a lie detector, because now they have PET scans and CAT scans and functional MRIs and all kinds of things, we can see your brain. We can actually put you in a functional MRI and show you a picture, this would be dangerous, of like gay erotica and see how you respond. We see what area lights up. We can tell. The point is let's do away with the court system.
Uh-oh.
Let's work something out. OJ doesn't walk. OJ takes this the first day. The first day. There's no more big trials of the century. There's no more stenographers. There's no more bailiffs. There's no more, peers, jury of your peers. People think $8 a day is a lot of money. People think it's a windfall that they don't have to go to work and they can still make $8.
I'm worried about you, man, because you're at that. I could just see you really? Up at night thinking big theories. You know?
Like, yeah.
Do we need oil?
Yes.
I mean, come on.
Yes. The ultimate solution. What could it be? That's right. Dave, I'll be assigning you a number after this. No problem. You're for Jewish faith, are you?
Yeah, I've got a barcode on my neck.
Noted. We're just going to put an extra digit on there so we can separate you from the real, the other people. That's all. So we're going to bring him in here because I think we can figure this one out and then we'll find out who is truly sinful and who isn't. Dave Attell, Brea Improv, tonight through Sunday. God bless you, Dave.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Nice work. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Remember, he loves you too.
Yes. All right. Now, I did this show, A, for the money, but B, to use this as sort of a platform.
Bully pulpit
for social change. Michael Quick is here. He's the Dean of Research at USC's Neurology Department. Also plays bass for the Knack. Evidently.
Nice luck.
Emo Phillips. Thanks,
you're one of these. You're one of these geniuses that has to keep a cool look, too, to show the students you're not some egghead who's coming down from Geek Mountain. You have to show them that you're one of them, right?
But it doesn't really work, does it?
No, you can't pull it off. No,
exactly.
We can smell
it. We
smell it on you, but it's a nice attempt.
Well, thanks.
It's a lot better than the short sleeve with the clip-on tie and the pocket protector.
Oh, I do that.
Yeah. But you got a good look. A purple shirt.
Hey, you like that?
Skinny black new wave tie.
That's it. Wow. Came right out of the 80s.
Yeah. An earring? And do you have a brow ring too?
Wow.
Progressive. Here's the point. Do your students call you Mr. Q? Because if they can call you by the first letter of your last name, that means you're one of the cool teachers.
Mostly they call me things I can't say on the air.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Sad not to have the respect of the student body. Well, I'm reading your biography here, and it is impressive. Where did you go to school?
I got my PhD at Emory in Atlanta.
And then
I did a postdoc at Caltech and somehow found my way here.
And so my idea about taking what we've learned, and you correct me, but have we learned more about how the brain functions in the last few years than ever before? I mean, combined?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, within the last just few years, we know more about what's going on in heads than we've known for...
And
forever.
And am I right to say that if you do one of these functional MRIs and you give you a stimulus, like you show you a picture of a puppy dog or erotica or some burning building or the Vietnamese woman running with her clothes on fire, you will see different points in my brain light up?
That's it. Different parts of the brain light up for different stimuli that come in.
So you can tell if Adam's wants to have sex with a puppy?
Don't we already know that?
We've done the math. We don't need the MRI apparatus for that. And you can tell, and if you put somebody, I mean, someone who was skilled at reading one of these could tell if a guy, you know, if I said, look, I'm not gay, I'm not interested in gay erotica, I have no, as a matter of fact, I can't stand it, and you put me in one of these things and showed me a Playgirl magazine, you could figure out if I was truly responding to it or not, correct?
Right, because we know the parts of the brain that are responsible for, I'm excited by this, I'm turned off by this,
right,
all that kind of stuff. So you put something in front of someone, you could look in their brain and say, they're lying to me, they're not lying to me.
Can you control it? Is there a portion of the population that you think might be able to control this? Like, I'm a closeted gay, I'm gay in the closet, and I will stop that part of my brain from lighting up when you show me this erotica.
Every movie... evil genius always, you know, he beat the polygraph.
Right.
Oh, you can beat the polygraph, but you can't beat what your thoughts are.
Right.
And this new technology allows you to look right at that.
Right.
And so you're not going to beat that.
Now,
what if you're an actor and you can...
You're going to have to be delusional to the point where you have to really believe that this is how you are, which would mean that's how you are.
Right. So you would actually be Napoleon.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's
if you're pretending to be Napoleon, that's
right.
Different from really being Napoleon.
And
you can tell the difference.
Leif Garrett with Napoleon, and that's me. I really do believe I am. But here's the thing. This would work then for lie detecting, possibly, potentially.
Oh, you better hurry and put your get your trademark
on
Corollograph or whatever you want to call this, because it's going to happen.
Corollograph.
And what do they think? I mean, in your professional opinion, and by the way, the technology is moving ahead fast, right? I mean, in the next 3-4 years, we'll be leaps and bounds ahead of where we are today, theoretically, right?
Totally.
So in your opinion, let's just say 5 years from now, if we focused on this, if the world's scientists focused on this, do you think you could get something that was 90-something percent accurate more?
It's already 90% accurate.
It is.
I mean, yeah, it's 99% accurate, and the question is just making it, you know, functional in the sense of, you know, putting this into a situation where you could actually...
Legally admissible.
Right. So if you took... do you believe, like, 10 years ago, if you took O.J. Simpson and put his head into one of these functional MRIs, and you asked him, well, not 10 years ago, but today, because the technology's moved forward, you could ascertain as to whether he was guilty or innocent quickly?
I think this has the real power to...
Will it go through an afro? Because that's important.
These are important questions. I don't know.
So you could figure it out. So the point is, my thing is, what do we need the court system for anymore once we get this technology worked out? Is it too much Big Brother? Is it too weird? Isn't it? And if you, in fact, didn't commit a crime, wouldn't you rather go ahead and submit to this functional MRI than have a guy, you know, 12 folks with a GED education? Because I'm getting my peers, which is scary, bunch of guys out of work from North Hollywood who are sitting there sort of half paying attention and deciding it'd be fun to see me rot in jail. You know what I mean? I mean, how accurate is that? I don't know if anyone even knows. But wouldn't you rather, if you're innocent, do this?
Yeah, but what if you're a guilty judge or guilty politician? These are the people you're going to have to convince to make this available, right?
Right. And I think people are worried, whenever Big Brother, the man, starts getting involved with things, it somehow is going to go south because the man has an agenda from watching too many futuristic movies. But I think the man's agenda is he wants your tax money. I think that's his overall agenda. He would like you to pay him so he can keep building his roads and his military. And he's not so interested in locking up innocent people. You know what I'm saying? I know the nodding is not the greatest radio.
Oh, you know, that's a good point. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
I thought you could read his brain.
Next time, give me the thumbs up. That's more effective. Two thumbs up. So do you think this is possible? And do you think you could make a unit, for instance, that would be under $1 million, that would be small enough for every courthouse in the world to have one, for instance?
Well, I don't know how much cheaper you even have to make them, because think about it. Think how expensive our court systems are now. I mean, you know, you could really make, you know.
Yeah, these trials cost millions of dollars oftentimes.
Absolutely.
I mean, people forget about it, but these are attorneys, these are, you know, security. I mean, just keeping the lights on in the courthouse and all the security and the metal detectors and everybody that's involved. I mean, these guys are getting, you know, the judges aren't getting $8.50 an hour. These guys are making $100,000, $150,000. These things go on months, sometimes even years. Then there's appeals and all this stuff. I just feel like, why not? And I don't know who would have I think I know what would work is the Trial Attorneys Association would get together and then they would go lobby this and that and they would throw a whole bunch of money at it and they would have it do a whole campaign and that would be that. But in the reality, if you just asked people in society, I think they would be for this, right?
Of course, you know, you got to be pretty careful about like what you allow people to ask questions about, all that kind of stuff. I mean, would you really want anyone to be able to ask you any question?
No.
And see what you're really suppressing and what you're really lying about?
No, I wouldn't. And you'd have to do a set of guidelines where they pretty much stuck to the subject, didn't ask you what you thought of your folks while your dad was standing there. And you get that boner sound again, which is sick. Yes.
It's probably the same reason why there's never going to be health care in this country, because there's too many people making too much money off of insurance.
Yeah.
You know, people are, it's behind the times, but you're right. It should be. Yeah, the court system is just, I mean, it's archaic, really, isn't it?
Yes, and people say, oh, we could never, you know, they always do this thing where, well, we could never improve on it, or it's that everyone else's court system is so bad. Ours is essentially, I give ours a 5.5 out of 10. The problem is we're up against other court systems around the world where they settle it with a rock. Or a donkey or something, and that's it. You know, they throw you in a well and see if you float, or they lock you up in some gulag. It's so archaic.
We can't all be that advanced.
Yeah, it's so horrible, all these other court systems, and ours in comparison ends up smelling like a rose. But I say, get rid of it. Turn the courthouses into gymboree's. Take the stenographers and have them stenographize other things. Let them follow me around. I'd like to know what I'm saying all day. Give these guys other jobs. Let's create a utopia. And let's put society at rest. You know, when a guy claims he's a pedophile, but he says he's not, and then it turns out he's innocent, we have to release him back in the community, and everyone's up in arms because we don't know. Let's find out. Let's find out what OJ is. And let's retroactively do it. Screw this double indemnity crap. Get OJ off the links and hook him up to the MRI. Oh, what a pay-per-view.
If it doesn't fit... You must have
How quit. Say you quick?
I'm with you, dude. I really am.
Quick, how about this for pay-per-view? We get Buttafuoco, we get OJ, we get a couple publicists, we get all the nefarious characters society has to offer, and we hook them up to this
Jessica
thing.
Jessica Simpson,
and we ask them the tough questions. You lead the thing.
Oh, I'm there. I am so there.
I'm there.
I like this
guy. I'm lending my name to it. I mean, imagine O.J. Simpson, functional MRI, pay-per-view. It would cost next to nothing. We could go down to USC use the thing.
Yeah.
He's a fellow alumni.
That's right. He gets discounts.
You know what we do? We tell him we're having him back to campus to award him another Heisman Trophy. We give him a few shots of booze. He comes in, wants to know where the party is. Well, lie down on this thing here. Relax, Juice. We'll go find that. We'll go find your Heisman for you. Pow. Get down. Tom Cruise, is he gay? Oh, the pay-per-view. Richard Gere, did you really put the gerbil in you? I mean, imagine, we'd have a new pay-per-view every month. It'd be huge, be astronomical.
You are a big thinker.
I am huge, and that's why one day I'll be in charge.
Let's bring that machine in here and hook up, you know.
Well, you know, it really is already being used in a lot of situations for advertising. People want to know what people are thinking about when they show them ads. And so ad agencies are really hot on this technology.
I'd like
anyway,
to hook up.
And so,
right.
I'd like to hook up Rachel Perry's, the tattooed birds that live in her vagina and hear what tales they have to tell. Oh, must be something.
Well, one thing I bet she wouldn't be lying about is putting you at the bottom of her list of guys she's attracted to.
And just
that's
to,
outrageous.
Yeah, and he just, our new friend here, Dr. Quick, just beat Rick Fox.
Wow.
On my list.
Wow. That foxy because you like the brains.
Smart.
It's not a bad looking
smart.
Man.
And what a personality.
Yes.
Like you're a very entertaining, cool guy.
I've said it once. I'll say it again. No one nods on the radio like Dr. Michael Quinn.
And I love his skinny tie with a purple shiny shirt.
He's the cool teacher. He's not the egghead. He's one of us.
Dr. Q.
All right, Dr. Q. We need to take a break. Thank you for coming in.
Sure.
He's the head of USC's neurology department, and he backs me up. A scientist backs me up on my plan to change society into a utopia. Thank you. I hope we can correspond regularly with you.
Anytime.
We should send someone down there. Can't we send Tad down there or something to get one of these done?
Tad can't fit in the machine.
Oh.
We have to grease him up and get a running start. We'll spread, we'll lube him up with Miss Cubison's stuffing sauce, and they'll get a good run at it. We forgot what he's thinking. And by the way, all it's going to have is hamsters on a wheel. It's just going to come up on the screen. All right, we'll take a break. Thank you, Doc. News and sports after this.
This is Kevin Nealon, and if you're not listening to The Adam Carolla Show, I hope you have a good excuse. Give Adam a call at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Well, still, much more show to look forward to. Dave Damashek's mom, Mo Damashek, is going to be in here to read some quite possibly insulting email.
I wouldn't count on her reading them.
She's coming in. Also, I think your fiancé is coming in. Dave is getting married on Sunday. We also have news and sports. First, I want to speak to Ed. Ed called in the other day. He's from Las Vegas. He lives across the street from the Palms. We're going to be out there on March 9th doing a live show, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Ed?
Hey, Adam. How you doing?
How you doing, Ed? Ed, you're 54 years old.
Yeah, how you know?
Well, it says it on this piece of paper they handed me. You're from Indiana, so you like the fact that Dave Damashek is an alumni of Indiana University, right?
Yeah, but he don't like the Colts.
Well, he loves Bobby Knight. It's just when Bobby Knight picked up and left, that was it.
I know Bobby Knight.
You do?
Yes, I do.
How do you know him?
I'm from Bloomington, Indiana.
Right.
Yes, I had season tickets back in the 76, 77, 78 season.
Right, but Jimmy Kimmel's from Las Vegas. He doesn't know Liberace. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I really do know him.
All right. Well, I ask him. I'm going to drop your name next time we talk to him. We'll see see if he lights up or not. Now, a few beats on Ed, and I'll tell you why we're talking to Ed. You're going to come see us at the Palms because you live across the street from it, right?
Yes.
You think I look like Greg Brady?
You know, because I ride the bus in the morning to my job, and I sit by your picture every day. Because your picture, I mean, I don't know if you know this or not, your picture is all over Las Vegas.
Thank you.
That's
I'm happy
not
to
Ed's.
Hear that.
Ed didn't come up with that. Bobby Knight didn't told Ed about it.
I still would trade it all to have me be in the picture of the guy who's got the tuxedo with the red cummerbund who's holding the 600-pound lobster from 1986. It looks like Peter North. That's I would give it all up to have that picture plastered all over Vegas. What is the name of that restaurant where the guy has the picture and he's holding that huge lobster up?
Yeah, it's me?
Yeah, Ed, you live in Vegas? You've seen that picture, right?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know? This is right up there with the once I was dating this chick who didn't know what Zima was, and I went out of my mind. You don't know what Zima? I don't know what Zima. You know, you've not seen the billboards? I don't look. I look at the road when I drive. Are you kidding me?
I once, believe this or not, I once met a woman who didn't know who Joe Montana was.
No way. No way, dude. Come on.
It's true.
Come on.
It's true.
Come on. I don't believe that.
Yeah, loser.
Not for a minute. Oh, my goodness. Wow. I hope that was the last exchange you had with her. Kick her to the curb.
What a she's sitting right next to me.
It's one uncomfortable. Rachel Perry.
Did you say you dated that person?
Ed.
What?
Ed.
Yeah.
Now, Ed. Yes.
Let me say hi to Dave. Hey, Dave.
He's hello, right Ed. There. You thought I was black the first time you heard me?
I wasn't sure.
Okay.
And then I seen your picture. I still wasn't sure.
Yeah, I know, because I have the nappy hair.
Yeah.
I have the small penis. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, no, that's where it ends. That's right. All right, so, Ed, here's what we'd like you to do.
Uh-huh.
We'd like you... You just got the TiVo last time we spoke to you, right?
Well, it's not exactly TiVo. It's DVR I got from the cable company.
Whatever it is. It's a magic box that'll record TV shows and play them back at your own will, right?
I do about 8 or 9 shows. I can do them.
What do you got on there? Scroll through there. What do you got?
Well, I've kind of been hooked on TV Land lately.
Oh, you've been watching all the reruns and stuff.
Good Times. I like that.
Good Times. Yeah, that's a good one.
And sometimes Oprah show, I've taped that before. And sometimes movies that I've taped. They show a lot of movies.
You know, I got to say this. I got to be honest about Good Times. I enjoyed Good Times, too, but I don't think it helped race relations any. Because every third episode, Dad would come home. John Amos would come home. And it'd be like, what happened, honey? You know, Florida would say, what happened? Did you get a job down at the docks? And he'd take his hat off and he'd hold it. He'd clutch it with two hands in front of his chest. And he'd go, no, they said they weren't hiring black people. And I'd be like, what? Well, that's what we think, but we don't say it. Nobody
it's
said that to him.
Like, I don't have my job. My old job, I don't have it no more.
But your boss didn't say to you, it's because we're not hiring black people. He was thinking it, but he didn't say it to you. That's all I'm saying. They never said that to John Amos.
No.
All right, so you're out of work.
No, I'm working 3 days a week.
Okay, well, that's good. All right, and you have plenty of time to watch the DVR, right?
Yeah, I've been watching it.
All right, I'll tell you what I'd like you to do, because we're trying to keep on top of these popular TV shows, and we're having trouble keeping up. How about you watch Desperate Housewives for us?
Yeah, that's what the Brian was telling me.
Yeah, could you do that?
Yeah, I can do that.
Do that.
I've only seen it a couple of times.
Well, it's Sunday night.
Yeah, he told me on Channel 13 out here.
That's right. So
Brian told him that.
Right, Brian, our phone screener. So watch that, the Brian. Watch that. And tell us, report back to us on Monday and give us a little heads up. In this case, it'll be Tuesday because we got a 3-day weekend coming up, all right?
Yeah, it's a holiday Monday.
Yeah, right. So write down a few notes and get back to us and give us the highlights. Give us the beats on it, all right?
I can do it.
All right, Ed. And your son's a cop, all right?
One of them. I got 5 boys. Mm. I don't have no girls.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, we got 5 of them. My oldest one's 38.
Mm-hmm. So the one
I was 6. No, I live with my boy he's about, I don't know, he's between 26 and 27, something like that.
Yeah. Well, you've narrowed it down to a few years. So the one son, you have 5 sons. One
yes,
of them's
sir.
A cop. And the other, did he have to arrest the other 4 ever?
No. He tell him don't be in trouble, though. He don't want to come get him.
Okay.
I had one son that got in trouble before, but that was it.
All right. Is he...
Only one bad one out of a bunch.
Well, that's not bad.
No, it's not bad.
Is he in the joint or is he out?
No, he didn't. Yeah, he went to... He got arrested 2 times, but he didn't have to go, like, to the real jail, I don't think.
All right.
He just was gone for a couple of days.
Yeah,
and
just
they
in
told
the tank.
Him, you
know, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good. He can hang out with the other son.
Well, I got kids ranging from age 38, and my youngest is 5.
5?
Yes.
How? And is your wife there? You're married?
I ain't married. No, I got four different women that I've had children by. The first two by the same lady, but the other three are, you know, different young ladies that I've came across in my life.
Wow. And, you know, they have all this. This is why you can't pay attention to the stereotypes.
I don't know.
Never true. And where is the where's the latest mom? She around?
No, she's not with me. She lives in Las Vegas, but she's not with me.
Okay.
She don't. I mean, I talk to her, and I have to give her a couple dollars here and there.
Sure.
But that's about it.
All right. Well, that's,
a couple.
You can give her a couple bucks. All right, Ed. I like the cut of your jib, Ed. You're my kind of guy.
All right. Well, I like you too.
All right. Well, good. You can be our correspondent.
What's the girl's name? What's her name?
Me?
The one who doesn't know who Joe Montana is? That's Rachel Perry, the beautiful Rachel Perry. You'll see her in person on the 9th when we come out there.
Oh, she'll be there?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to
that.
About 6 in the morning we'll be there?
No, we're going to be there. We're going to be there at 3 in the afternoon. Maybe you can impregnate her.
No. I can't have no more kids now.
We could try for a couple girls.
We could try. You get a girl.
No. I'm done with that. I've given it up.
All right. Fine. Well, that's you're 50. You have a 5-year-old.
Fine.
You're 56. All right. Listen, Ed, watch Desperate Housewives for us, would you please?
I'll do it, and I'll call you.
All right. Call us on Tuesday and give us a full report. And now it is time for the beautiful Rachel Perry and her news.
At least 200 are dead, 1,500 missing after a massive landslide in an island in the Philippines. It swallowed hundreds of houses and an elementary school. Bush spoke yesterday about Cheney's reaction to the shooting accident and said that it was a deeply tragic moment for him and a tragic moment for Harry Whittington.
It's a deeply traumatic moment for him and obviously for the... It's a tragic moment for Harry Whittington.
And you know what?
So silky smooth. Let me tell you something, this Bush with his velvety tongue, fast talking like a timeshare salesman. I don't buy it. I say behind that velvety smooth tongue and that thesaurus he seems to have buried in his head, he's a corrupt politician. That's what I say. You guys all buy into it because he talks you to sleep so smooth, so silky smooth. It's tough. You know you're in trouble when you go, it's tough for the guy who got shot by the shotgun, and obviously, oh, wait a minute, I should have used the obviously before.
I'll tell you when you're in trouble, is when I am smarter than the President of the United States. That's not good for the country.
I think that's when we're all in trouble, yes.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Just don't say anything. Some guy... who lives in another part of the White House, shot his buddy you've never met before hunting. He's 78. He's fine. He'll pull through. Just move on. Focus on Iraq. All right?
And the shooting that's going on over there.
Yes.
Yes. A man who is heavier than Tad is walking across country to try to lose half of his weight. He's walking 13 to 18 miles a day and sleeping in a very large tent. Sorry, that's what it said.
Did it really have to say very large?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Just give us the news. Forget about the commentary. We're in a very large tent. Yeah. He's walking, did you say halfway across the country?
Well, no, he's trying to lose half his weight.
Oh, I see.
And I think he's walking from like St. Louis to New York, then he's getting on a plane to California, and then walking to back
I've
to
said
St.
this
Louis
many
or something.
Times. Everyone makes these guys out to be such heroes, you know, whether it's the chick at the office who's writing for AIDS and you got to sponsor her, it's a guy who's walking for this or walking for that. I would love to take 2 weeks off and ride a mountain bike with a bunch of my friends to San Francisco. You go ahead and
for
sponsor
charity.
Me. Yeah. You give me $10 a mile, I'll get throw some air in the mountain bike tires, and we'll take off for a adventure, traveling leisurely down the coast. 2 weeks later, we'll arrive in Frisco, then we go to the top of the mark, and we have ourselves a smart cocktail. How about it? Meanwhile, you sponsor me. You, who has to go to work on Monday.
I
sponsor
say yay.
Me. You say yay.
Speaking of the very large tent, as a coincidentally, that's what Tad wears, his underpants.
Huge tent?
Yeah. Listen, I'm getting married this weekend. I deserve gangbuster laughs every time.
I'm sorry,
from here
I was
out.
Drinking V8. I'm sorry. I'll laugh
I'm sorry.
Later.
I was on the delay again.
Yeah. All right.
So, some secret tapes that were made in the 1990s mm-hmm. of Saddam Hussein talking to his staff and with a voiceover translation have been recently released. They were played on Good Morning America this morning, and they have Saddam making predictions of terrorist attacks in America.
I knew he was bad.
Terrorism is coming. That in the future there will be terrorism with weapons of mass destruction. I told them in the future what would prevent a booby-trapped car causing a nuclear explosion in Washington, or a germ or a chemical one. This is coming. This story is coming, but not from Iraq.
Wow. It's creepy, right?
Yeah.
I know. Saddam making predictions. And you know what? There was a lot more.
Let's just kill him. Can we just kill him? Can we just kill him? No. What's the big deal, everyone? The guy gassed a few thousand Kurds. Isn't it not enough on your resume for us to put you in the ground? Not enough? What do you got to do, by the way?
How hard is it to make predictions about things that you're going to do?
Yes, no. that's a good point. I say we make a prediction. We kill him. We have a translator go, we got these other tapes. We're going to capture your ass. You're going to pretend like you're nuts for 10 minutes, and then we're going to put you in the ground. Just kill him. Really? That's a big deal. And the rest of the world hates us anyway. Do we have to do a mock trial showing everyone? All we do is show people how even-handed we are, and they hate us more every year. Screw the rest of you. Put him in the ground and bring it. That's what I say. That's what I say. I'm running for president. That's it.
The tape actually went on. There is more predictions that he made from the 90s. This is another one.
But Ayakiri will get a little fatter. But that is okay, because it will make her boobs look bigger.
It's also him and Kid Rock getting oral, I hear, on the backside of that tape. Check that out.
Yeah, and it's going to be for sale pretty soon for $12.90 at the 99-cent only store, actually.
Yeah.
There was another prediction he made as well.
The guy from Top Gun, Tom Cruise, not the guy who's going to be on ER. Tom Cruise will jump on the couch of a large black woman.
Wow. Nostradamus.
Nostradamus.
That seemed, I hate to be a cynic, but that seemed awfully vague.
No, you really? Yeah, I mean, not specific. Right. You're right.
Britney Spears will marry a jackass in a backwards trucker hat.
No,
that'll never happen.
All right.
That'll never happen. And in entertainment, new movies coming out this weekend, Freedom Land with Samuel L. Jackson, 8 Below. This is the one that I'm going to go see, starring Paul Walker
saw
and
it.
Some dogs. Did
saw
you see it?
Yes. Saw it with my nephews. Saw the sneak preview of it.
I bet it was. Did you cry?
I'll tell you. It was a tearjerker. My wife, who I now have figured out likes animals more than she likes human beings. Officially, there's that thing as a woman usually comes in your mid to late 30s where you actually cross over, and it turns out you like your dog more than your friends. She was bawling throughout the whole thing. Yeah. Because I don't want to give too much away, but a couple of the dogs, actually.
No!
Yeah.
Don't tell
yes,
me! I'm
entombed
going to
in a glacier.
You're a ruiner.
Yes.
Spoiler. Mm. Also, date movies coming out this weekend, and a movie with Zooey Deschanel and Will Ferrell, Ed Harris, and Amelia Warner called Winter Passing. Quickly, Lisa Marie Presley got married.
What a catch.
And
it's only
Tuesday
a fourth
she
time.
Will be, by over the weekend, she will be divorced, and you'll get to report that on Tuesday.
Yes.
And Dave Damashek is getting married, and it's Paris Hilton's 25th birthday. I just found an update on that stuff you were asking about the other day about her stuff that was in the storage facility.
Yeah, Paris Hilton had a bunch of stuff in a storage facility. Somebody in her camp didn't make the payments.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's not cutting a check to public storage on the 5th of every month. It lapsed, and they just threw it up and put it up on auction. People buy it blind. I think the guy spent a couple grand and just bought the lot for blind. Didn't know it was Paris Hilton's storage container. And now is sold it off, and they're going to put it on the internet, and they want millions of dollars. What did you find out?
Well, it says the Hilton family is going to sue whoever buys or sells this stuff. She's working overtime with her lawyers. In some of the stuff, apparently there's stuff in there. She describes every lover that she's ever had. She rates them by performance, size, and frequency. She wants to get the stuff back. She talks about losing her virginity.
How could that fit into one of the storage containers? Maybe it was a blimp hanger. Listen, everybody, stop documenting everything. you idiot guys at home that have the chick you're corresponding with via the email and all that stuff, stop it. The old lady's going to find out. You girls are keeping the diary so weirdo stepdad can find out what you've been up to between, you keep it between the box spring and the mattress. Stop documenting everything. It will only bite you in the ass. You think, oh, this will be great. I'll read my diary when I'm 60. You never end up reading it. What ends up happening is your fiance reads it when you're 23 and you guys break up. That's what happens.
Well, now that I'm getting married, I regret doing it. But it's in my past, either way.
I've seen the sex tapes of you and Kid Rock.
and finally, apparently they're saying that Jessica Simpson and Adam Levine are together and had hooked up in, like, 2004. Mm. They're somewhere. Anyway.
That's hot.
I'm Rachel Perry, and that's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Disconcerting. This may not be the best sports report, considering I have Mo and the rest of my family staring
at me
through
the glass. Yeah, they all came in.
Yeah, glass there. Winter games in Torino. The good news is U.S. 6 gold medals. Bad news, we're only in 4th place in total medal count behind Norway, Russia, and the Nazis.
Wow.
The Nazi threat is still real.
Oh, I say bomb them again.
Well, we were talking yesterday about the men's snowboard cross, this very fake-sounding event. Today, it was the ladies' turn to do it. American Lindsay Jacobellis was about to win the race in this snowboarding, and she tried to show off at the end. And she tried to grab it, you know, when they do the snowboard, and they grab the back of it.
Right.
She tried to do that, and she fell.
Really?
And someone passed her.
She's the one from all the American Express commercials or whatever. She's up on the mountain with her dad and all that stuff. I mean, she's the darling of the Olympic Games.
She tried to show off like Leon Lett running into the end zone in the Super Bowl.
Sure.
And was felled for it.
Yeah, Don Beebe.
Terrific. These Olympics are going great for the U.S.
I'm sorry, but did she finish in the medals?
She finished with a silver medal. But
silver, she didn't
easily,
win.
Apparently, was well ahead of the pack.
Mm.
This happened just an hour or so ago.
Well.
Now, meantime, Yevgeny Plyshenko, the Russian, he won gold in men's figure skating yesterday. And Johnny Weir, the American hopeful, didn't even get a medal at all. Because, among other things, he blamed a whole bunch of things. He said the bus didn't show up to take him to the tournament. I threw him off. Mm-hmm. He said, I didn't feel my inner peace. I didn't feel my aura. I was black inside.
Mm.
Well, that's a problem with it.
For skating, For the Winter Olympics.
But he's black inside. Inside of this guy may be one of Ed's kids.
Oh, really? Ed actually pranked
I'm doing the math. I think so. Now, NBA, Phoenix Suns, shamed the Rockets. They beat them by 39 last night. Now the NBA is on break for the All-Star game. Pac-10 hoops last night. Stanford, Cal, number 21, Washington were winners. And brought this up earlier. It's a crazy time in college hoops right now. Coach Knight, he refuses to talk. You know, he's giving it to the lady reporters, telling them to get back in the kitchen and make him breakfast. he's saying these things. Eddie Sutton of Oklahoma State's on a leave of absence because he's drunk. And now the new Indiana University coach, Mike Davis, is now the old coach because he decided yesterday to step down, insinuating that Indiana needs to get one of their own to coach the team.
So he's a man of color.
He's an African-American man, yes, and it suggests that maybe they should get a white man, and he is unapologetic, and he is steamed, and he announced that he's quitting at a very emotional press conference yesterday. Take a listen.
Get your pencils and notepads ready, boys, because I got a newsflash. I quit, I tell you. Excuse me. Hello, Mr. Sheldrake. That's right, Mr. Sheldrake, I quit. You can't fire me. I quit. I've had it. I'm hitting the bricks. Time to skedaddle, vamoose, and so on. Good day, sir. I said good day.
Wow, is he angry.
Oh, his boss, Mr. Sheldrake, always calls in the middle of these press conferences, too.
I know, yeah. Well, maybe that's part of it. You know, he's a taskmaster, and Mike Davis doesn't care for it anymore. Mm. That's that.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Well, the entire Damashek clan is in town because he's getting what? He's getting wed. His wedding is taking place on Sunday. Mo Damashek, the famous Mo. Mo Mother Damashek is coming in. She's going to read some email if she can get through it. Also, we have your young fiance, Cindy with an I. We have some vows that she's going to go over on the air. All that to look forward to. Oh, and a quick piece of unfinished business. David from Las Vegas is calling to tell us that picture all over Vegas with the guy from the 80s in the tuxedo holding the huge lobster is the Rosewood Grill, yes?
Yes, it is.
Yes, I knew that. I forgot.
Rosewood Grill. They actually have some good stuff there.
All right. I'm going over there.
I still question whether that place even exists. Just the picture.
I do that about every place I've never been to. Even parts of Europe. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. He's so hot.
866-901-ADAM is the phone number. Dave Damashek, number one sports guy. Dave Damashek's mother, Mo Damashek, father, Dr. Damashek, and new bride, Cindy. Are out in the, soon to be new bride.
Are you bringing them in here now?
Yeah, we're going to bring them in.
Before you do that, real quick, I haven't ever told them actually that this isn't my show. So if everybody can just play along, you're the sports, just like you do the sports, Adam. You know,
your mom thinks show. This is your, but it has my name on it.
Well, let's just play. Yeah, I don't know that she's.
All right, just bring them
in. I told her. That was just because I thought you were a good dude.
Just bring him in. All right. Just bring him in. Go get him, Big Tad.
Wait just a second. Mm-hmm. Hey, so welcome back to the Dave Damashek Show. Sports guy Adam Carolla's here. Rachel Perry with the news. Hey, it's my parents. Welcome to my show.
Hey, Dave, is it okay? Can I talk for a second?
Adam, please, if you have something to say, but then it will get back to me. It's my show after all.
You're so funny,
That's
Dave.
That's awesome stuff.
You're so funny.
That's great. These things don't happen by accident.
Can I play Ask His Rodeo again?
Boss, that's one of your best ones.
Yeah.
You should write that down.
Oh, Aaron, you're all right.
Mo Damashek here, soon to be Cindy Damashek with an I, and Dr. Damashek. So, father... And new bride or new-to-be bride and mother. Mother, can I ask you a few questions? It's Dave's show, sure. But of course...
Well, it is. I love that you have helpers here with you, Slug. I didn't know you would.
Slug. Wow, you've seen him on the basketball court, huh?
I've seen him play Little League.
Wow. Well, here's the thing. First off, you were you're a doting mother. You yes. love your son.
Yes.
And some would argue too much. I think maybe you've spoiled the lad.
No,
you spared the rod and spoiled him.
That's
you cut.
Right.
We learned earlier in the week that on Valentine's Day you cut his sandwiches out in the shape of a heart.
Of heart, yes.
You have a lot to live up to, Cindy.
That's
I
right.
Know.
Oh, it's going to be miserable.
It's not going to be easy.
No, it's
we realize there's no wrong that your son Dave can do, and that's why we decided. It'd be fun to take some emails because believe it or not, the entire country isn't quite as smitten with your son as you are.
No, I refuse to believe it.
I know it sounds mathematically impossible, but you know how people are. The people that are big fans, they don't write anything, and the people that have an axe to grind, probably guys who wish they could do sports and never had the opportunity.
That's exactly
sour grapes. But they go ahead and send some emails. So we pulled a few choice ones and thought it'd be fun if you read a few of those emails about your son, Dave.
Sugar to help the medicine go down.
Fine. That's right. First, I have presents for everybody because I think when you come to a new home, you bring presents. You talked about back scratchers. I have back scratchers for all of you.
Fantabulous.
And no one's had an itchy back since the 70s. We determined a while ago.
Yes,
These things were all the rage 30 years ago.
I'll put it next to my pet rock when I get it home.
Good. All right, fine. Now I'm going to read
actual emails that we've received.
I'm not saying their names. I will give them no credit for
Okay, but these are actual emails we've received regarding Dave.
All
Here
right.
we go.
The names have smelled, but the first one, of course, is lovely. Dave Damashek, he is a funny and talented guy. Thank you, Tyler. This is Thomas from Seattle. So.
Mm-hmm.
I love you, Dave, and great job on the show.
Wow, okay.
Very terrific. Nice.
Let's continue.
Out of the gate, red hot. Let's
Feeling
stop
good.
There. Let's move on.
Why subject yourself to this?
And
terrible.
You see, obviously, anonymous, of course.
Mm-hmm.
They're made up things.
Mm-hmm.
Who is this guy, Dave, who is always yelling? He makes me change the station.
All I wrote that one, actually.
We'll continue, though I'm not happy because these are dreadful people. But stop yelling, you idiot. We can hear you if you talk normally. What is wrong?
Words hurt.
Where does that even come from, by the way? That is so far out of left field.
Is your mom actually going to... Would she cry? I wonder if you'll cry.
I cannot.
It would be nice.
I have no choice but to read these, right?
Yes.
All right. I have a great idea. This will be great. This will make the greatest, the biggest positive impact on the show. Here it is. Get rid of Dave Damashek. I'm sick of his wannabe Adam Carolla voice.
Wow.
Please. They're not alike.
We've had to put up with that voice all our lives.
Yes. I know. Must have been tough in the schoolyard, people accusing you of mimicking my voice as a third and fourth grader.
Even before he knew you.
And
Saddam,
Pittsburgh, sure.
Saddam predicted it years ago.
Yeah, right.
The tapes. I'm doing it. All right, the next one. My best description of Dave's voice is this. If Gilbert Gottfried had been born in Fargo, North Dakota to a goat, he would sound exactly like Dave.
Are you not supposed to laugh at that?
That is a good one.
This is what they do.
I gotta say, Dave's holding up pretty well.
Hurtful. Look at me. Dave, you are an embarrassment. That is not true.
Not
true at all. Every show, you somehow get to say white guys, usually making fun of them, and black guys, usually praising their sex appeal, dancing, dance sense, athletic ability, but never academic or business success. You perpetuate every known stereotype of the black man and woman. Stop it.
Wow. Oh, wow. I would argue that's thorough. Perpetuating every stereotype.
Yes, that really was.
Wow.
Oh, no, I am not reading this. No. This person.
Do it. Please, Mo.
Kill yourself immediately.
No.
What kind of a thing is that?
Please just read the emails. Enough with the commentary.
I have to editorialize.
Really?
If I was born, and it's if I were born, but anyway, if I was born with your voice, I would have done it a long time ago. What's taking you so long?
Wow.
Really? I mean, this is horrible.
Last one.
I'm not doing this.
Please. You must. It's an FCC regulation.
Fine, but I want it to be known I'm objecting strenuously. I hate Dave. I wish Dave's nipples would be bitten by a rogue rat in the dark of a Pennsylvania barn. Not like Dave has any real ties to Pennsylvania anymore. Oh, yes, he does. His mom and dad are probably thankfully dead because of Dave by now. Dead by embarrassment.
We're still here.
Wow.
Right. Nice job, Dave. You talentless load. Dave, the person that wrote this lives in Phoenix.
It's Cindy.
I will find him. I will hunt him down, and he will pay for this. He lives in Phoenix.
You live here in Phoenix as well?
In the winter, yes.
Mo is my avenging angel.
Yo, absolutely.
She will fell all who badmouth me.
And my reach is...
Munich, Monic.
Yes,
she
hunts
them all down.
I will get you,
verbal
Dave,
terrorists.
Wherever you are, and find you.
Guys in his car trying to turn it over. And boom.
That's it. Oh, it won't happen immediately, though. He expects by Monday or Tuesday. Oh, no.
Maybe she doesn't even have to kill. Maybe she can just put a CD of me talking in there. That will terrorize them back.
That's what we'll do.
And her mark is a Pumanti sandwich. You know, some people, some killers will leave a rose or something like that. You leave the Pumanti sandwich.
Fries and coleslaw
right on there.
That's right.
All right. Mo, nice work.
Thank you. I'm not happy.
I didn't care for it.
No.
Father Damashek.
Yes, sir.
The auctioneer, I want to thank you very much for coming in supporting.
I appreciate it.
As well, we have Cindy, the soon-to-be bride, who's here. Cindy with an I.
Look at that rock, too.
She has wedding vows to read. We may modify them a little bit, but she will be reading that next. And we'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
This is Caroline Ray. You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. I have a cold.
All right. Let's see. A little more work to do. Mo Damashek, Dave Damashek's mom. Pops Damashek in here. Cindy with an I, fiance. Dave and I having a discussion, comparing and contrasting our two families' parenting styles. My father, for example, has... I've been on the radio here for 10 years on a flagship station, namely K-Rock in Los Angeles. My dad, for $10,000, did not know what station that was. For $10,000, and he lives in this city. For 10 years, Had no idea where to find it on the dial. Meanwhile, you're cutting sandwiches in the shape of hearts.
Right. And I could tell you what station you're on because you're a friend of David's. Therefore, I follow all of his friends.
Yeah.
See? Yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't just David.
No. I'm going to hire a drifter to kill my dad. It's done. As a matter of fact, Dad, you're lucky I just talked about it on the radio because now I'm not going to do it. I was thinking it. If I had opened my mouth, I could do it. Now when we find the body, they'll know it, or they'll play the tapes. They'll go right to me. All right. So Cindy is here. Cindy is Dave's fiance. He met her, Cindy with an I, on the at the Man Show. Yes,
correct.
We hired Cindy as a producer, and she and Dave hooked up. And I've always been a fan of Cindy. I really am, and I know Dave's a fan of himself, and I'm a fan of you. So it all works out.
Perfect circle.
Petite, blue eyes, beautiful, and just what a demeanor. Beautiful demeanor, happy. Yes.
Yes.
And oh, let me give you this. You're beautiful. You're young. You're petite. Your hair's long and lovely. Let's not F this up for the wedding. Don't go crazy. Here's what happens. Women think, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do my hair up better than it's ever been done before. So they go for 3 hours and see a guy who goes by Mr. and then his first name after that homo. And all they do is screw up your hair, and you have to live with it in the form of pictures for the rest of your life. Your hair looks great now. And we should recognize you. I don't want to say
it's a no beehive.
I don't want to say, oh, I recognize the ass, but whose head of hair is on that woman Sheck is marrying? I have it look like it looks now. It looks beautiful.
Thanks.
All right.
All right. Close.
Don't overdo
close.
It. All right. So you have your vows.
I do.
That you've prepared.
Right, David. I hope you don't mind. Yes.
It'd be nice.
Please.
If you could go ahead.
A sneak preview.
Dave's a special man. He requires special vows.
It's true.
Yes.
I'm ready. Is everyone ready?
We're primed.
We're ready.
All right.
Go ahead.
I'm so nervous.
Oh. I'll cry. Wait, I might cry.
Don't cry, Mo. I've got tissues. Okay. I, Cindy with an I, take you, David, for my lawfully wedded husband because you're not allowed to marry your mother.
Wow.
What? To have him at home. Yes. To have and to hold from this day forward, except on Sundays during football season, of course. When you're drunk and waving a terrible towel like a lunatic.
Sad.
I know. It's all right. For better and for worse, in Steelers victory, go Super Bowl 40, I must say myself. And in Steelers defeat, for richer and for poorer, though with your talent, I'm guessing poorer.
I shouldn't insult you.
Wow.
I know.
Tough, yeah.
In sickness and in health, as you are now. And the bloated mess you'll be in 10 years. Although, I must add, you'll always be ruggedly handsome in my eyes.
Nice.
In full-headedness or in your inevitable baldness, again, ruggedly handsome. Wow. Until death or me sobering up and divorcing you, which I might add probably will not happen. No. Do us part.
Wow.
Who was crying?
Oh, damn, Sheck was crying during that.
Thinking, no I tears. Don't know this what girl happened? At all.
Really? Oh, my God. It's now suddenly all hitting home. I have only moments left of bachelorhood. Brusca, get over here. Make sweet love to me.
Is Cindy with an I calling you Mom already, Mo?
She calls me Mo.
Mo.
Like everyone does.
But
right.
Dave calls
Mo and Lore.
Mo and Lore.
And is it true you found a cockroach under the fold of a morbidly obese? I don't believe that.
I did. You never worked in an emergency room.
You know what? Oh, no, you're right. Yeah. I thought I did.
No, really? These morbidly obese?
Yes. In the fold of a heavy set person.
Yeah, because you have to, you know. Like,
all right. Well,
yeah, we did.
We're going to get into this. We're going to get into this. Because I'll tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to this wedding. I'm going to toss back a couple of highballs. I'm going to take you out to the dance floor, and we're going to trip the light fantastic. And what happens after that is none of my responsibility.
Right. Who knows? That's right.
What happens at the wedding?
Dr. Sheck, give you a pass. I'm a celebrity.
That's right.
Why, exactly.
Anytime, Adam.
You took one for the team to help the son's career.
That's right.
All right. I want to thank Sean White for coming in here, the Flying Tomato Gold Medal. Richard Martin, Republican, AskRepublican.com. Dave Attell. Immensely talented Dave Attell. David Gold, our 99 cent store man, and Michael Quick, neurologist. All, and of course, the Damashek family. Mazel Tov.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll see you Sunday, and until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.